DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
I've been sitting at home for the last couple months watching the product, and I see what Bully Ray's been doing. Week after week after week after week. And I see that the boys are getting sick and tired of it. The agents in the back are getting sick and tired of it. I can tell the people at home are getting sick and tired of it. My question to you tonight is, are you sick and tired of it? So the boys are sick and tired of it. The agents are sick and tired of it. The people at home are sick and tired of it. You're sick and tired of it. You know who's really sick and tired of it?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That is enough. That is more than enough. This man is not authorized in my ring.
Huh?
The boys, do me a favor. Get down there, handcuff him, and get him out of here immediately, please.
Handcuffs?
What? Good, it's about time.
You're into handcuffs?
Greg DeMarco Show.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg, I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky, you gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh.
You're welcome!
And I love you, Greg.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and, that's not, they come off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. Third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
Poor Greg DeMarco. The wrestling really had to go down. 32 fantastic Heather Lynn. Sexy and dangerous, too young. This is the Greg DeMarco Show.
Shut up!
It is Sunday night, the pay-per-view is over, and your new WWE champion is once again Randy Orton. Which means it's time to complain.
That's not cool.
Patrick O'Dowd. Randy Orton's the new WWE champion.
Yeah, I started really, 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 really fearing that was going to happen about 4 hours before the pay-per-view, even though, you know, we were talking about it on Monday in the Twitter sphere and the internet, just by the nature of the promos and what they did. I got to give credit where credit's due. They didn't do it the way that a lot of people said they were going to do it. You know, there's some question as to Shawn Michaels' motivation. But sure shooting did... our good friend Shawn Michaels super kicked Daniel Bryan, directly leading to a Randy Orton pinfall victory and new WWE champion.
So are you saying that you really, 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 really,
really,
really,
really,
yeah, really,
really,
really had a suspicion, huh?
I did. Unfortunately, not so much of a suspicion that I was willing to walk back on the prediction I'd made a week ago, just like the rest of us.
Right.
Mike, it was, yeah, because it's just what the WWE does. And, yeah, it's just what they do.
It's just what they do. It sounds like
you've
been beat down by the man.
I have. I'm actually a little disillusioned. Not like jump off a cliff sort of disillusioned, but you want to think that at some point the story that was being told would come to the conclusion that people want, like the satisfying end. And I kind of wonder if we're going to get it, like ever.
Aw, Puddin.
I know.
And the sad thing is I agree with you 100%. I mean, I've been saying the logical next step of the story was for Daniel Bryan to finally overcome all of this and win the WWE Championship and have a little bit of a run. And then, you know, I didn't think Daniel Bryan was going to walk into WrestleMania with the WWE Championship unless he was defending it against Triple H in a feud ender where Triple H is trying to get his, quote unquote, his belt back. It was the only scenario where I saw Daniel Bryan as WWE champion walking into WrestleMania. But I thought we'd see it sort of through the Royal Rumble or even Elimination Chamber. You know, there was talk of a program with CM Punk, make the fans happy, whatever. But no. Danny's just not the guy, brother.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Right now, or at least it feels pretty clear, and maybe we're wrong. I know the old adage is wait till Monday on Raw and see what it is, but you can only wear down a crowd and a fan base so much before, like, you just don't buy it and you just don't care.
Yeah, I would not believe in say Survivor Series features a Randy Orton Daniel Bryan rematch. We could bust out the old Sesame Street count, you know,
yeah,
animated GIF where it's zero fucks I don't give, because I wouldn't care.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's done.
Yep.
It's done now.
It
you cannot go back and do it again. Like, you can't. It's over. Even though it's really not over, even though Daniel Bryan was still not defeated, and the last time they had a clean finish, it was Daniel Bryan knocking Randy Orton the hell out. I don't care if there was a fast count. Could have fast counted to 100. Still would have been out.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, for all the complaints that certain other companies get that may or may not be competition to the WWE about non-clean finishes, can we talk about the non-clean finish fest that was today's, you know, pay-per-view?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. It was, especially, and again, it's I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million times again, it's how do you finish the show? If the show finished with a clean finish, for lack of a better term there, then it would be okay. It would make up for what we saw. But the cleanest finish we got was John Cena coming back, Superman beating Alberto Del Rio and winning the World Heavyweight Champion. And now probably going to be back at the top of the card. And because, you know, Triple H loves him some World Heavyweight Championship. He loves the big gold belt. And this is probably his way of reestablishing the big gold belt, which, look, we've all complained about the way the big gold belt is being used. And we all wanted it to return to prominence, but again, it's not on our playlist. This isn't how we wanted it. We wanted it to return to prominence around the waist of a guy like Dolph Ziggler. Instead, they go the easy way. The easiest way to return that belt to prominence is to put it around the waist of John Cena. So they're accomplishing what we want them to accomplish, but not accomplishing it the way we want them to accomplish it. So we'll obviously get to that.
Phenomenally unfortunate, too, because that was a pretty decent match out of Alberto Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really was.
He's had good match after good match during this run. This has been his best run. And it's just stupid. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Just, You know, and what do you do now with Alberto Del Rio? I mean, yeah.
Well, Sheamus is always coming back. I mean, just kidding.
We
want to
see that feud again.
Well, you know.
And I'm seeing tweets all over the place now. I'm done with WWE now.
Well,
it's great.
My Twitter reaction was, and the IWC loses its mind because that's what was going to happen.
Yeah, and we're all going to be back tomorrow.
Well, we're going to be back there because we, you know, it's what we do. But, they're not going to lose the fans that they're worried about losing. Like, that's, you know.
Right, exactly.
Dead serious. Like, we're going to go away, and then we'll come back the second, you know, CM Punk rises back and becomes at the top of the scene, or if Daniel Bryan does get another run, or something else unexpected. Like, it'll happen. We do it all the time.
Monitoring the Twitter reaction is really funny. I love this one, where our good friends at Shining Wizards, at Wizards Podcast. So D-Bright continues to lose, and now HBK is involved. And yet TNA is the company going out of business. Because they have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, that's a completely different comparison.
Of course, there is. And TNA is not going out of business. They're just being sold to the highest bidder. So can I borrow $5, Patrick O'Dowd? Like, we might have a shot here.
We could turn this company around.
Which is funny because, you know, when a company wants to get sold, they minimize costs and cut liabilities. That's exactly what TNA has been doing. And if these rumors are true, and who the hell knows if they are, it just came out today, then this has been a long time coming based on what get off the road, cut big contracts. I mean, they've been re-signing. You know, they offered Mickey James $60,000 a year. Like, I'm sorry, but to most of our listeners out there, $60,000 a year may sound great. Minimum WWE contract is like $250,000.
Yeah.
And Mickey James probably gets more than that to do her record stuff. So I just can't see someone accepting that. But which makes me wonder what they got Anderson for.
Yeah, well, who knows? I mean, maybe it wasn't so much that they were dumping all the big contracts, but they started to make decisions as to who are the big contracts that we feel like we could really, you know, keep and use and go somewhere with. And, you know, Anderson clearly made that cut, maybe. Or maybe he took a pay cut. Maybe he willingly cut it back. I don't know. I doubt it. But, like I'm not back there, so I can't speculate. Who knows? But, yeah, it's not that, you know, back to your original point. Like, it's not the same thing. You can't compare the two companies. It's not even close. And TNA has made its own bed to where they're, you know, in the position that they're in. And we can go into that plenty of times on other shows, you know, not post-pay-per-view shows. Because I guarantee you that the way TNA is going and its program is going right now, we're going to have something to talk about next week. In fact, we already do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I almost want to talk about it this week. Want to talk about it this week. I'm glad that the tapings have happened so we can still talk about it next week because it's bad. It's downright bad. I can't wait to write about it. It's going to be so much fun. But that's a whole other topic. I want to get back to the pay-per-view because here is I kind of saw this coming because, you know, Patrick O'Dowd plants the bug in my head that Shawn Michaels is going to do this. And so I'm just, you know. So I got worried and I started thinking this way, which is good because it allowed me to mentally prepare for the show. Before Shawn Michaels started arguing with Triple H on the outside of the ring, before Randy Orton started arguing with with Shawn Michaels, we saw what was a really good wrestling match with an amazing amount of crowd reaction. I mean, the crowd was going nuts for this match. They were so into this match. It was insane. And that's lost. That's lost on at least the people that we interact with. It's not necessarily lost on the casual fans, but those we talk to, those listening to this program, the internet fans who are on the internet right now complaining or not complaining or whatever, it's lost on them. What was, you know, a great match, which I was worried about because their last couple of matches haven't been all that great because they've been doing it over and over and over again. And it's just, you know, they pulled out a great match, but again, the finish negates it. And I just can't watch Daniel Bryan chase for the belt anymore.
Yeah, it's just done. And in all reality, we're probably not at least if the WWE writers were smart, I think that we're shooting him off into that side feud that I think a lot of us have anticipated. Like, I still think that there's going to be something, maybe he's going to be working. Maybe this is the Shawn Michaels out of retirement moment that I keep saying is never going to happen. I don't know. Maybe this does get into shuttled over to some sort of different Daniel Bryan Triple H feud. I don't know. The Big Show surprisingly did not come into play the way
right.
a lot of us expected. Which
more than he didn't need to.
Yeah, but
they found
but
a different way to open
wonder,
the cage door.
Absolutely, but to the point, it does make me really nervous. That the speculation that Vince McMahon is coming back with Big Show as his representative to try and get his company back and, through the title, that might be where we're headed next.
So, yay, Big Show versus Randy Orton is our new feud for the WWE
Bust
Champion.
Bust in the seats, people. Bust
oh, yeah.
in the seats.
Well, hey, the Big Show is over like crazy.
True.
Well, I mean, we don't like it, but he is, and not that we don't like the Big Show, but we don't want him to be a part of the storyline. But he's been getting crazy good reactions, and I honestly think Big Show is primed for his Austin-like run now. He already drove a tractor into the arena.
He drove it 3 feet. Let's be clear.
Well,
that's
the magic
in there. Look great on TV.
The magic of television. Come on.
Yeah.
But still, he drove it in the arena, and that's, that's an Austin move. Right, and they busted it out with Eddie Guerrero, they busted it out with Kurt Angle. Now they're busting it out with the Big Show. I think this becomes the Big Show storyline, probably via Vince McMahon, like you're saying, and I think that sucks.
Yeah, it's not what we want, but...
No, I'm it's funny because you could probably play a good game of who is Greg DeMarco this week, and I am unfortunately snarky internet fan right now.
You are pretty snarky today. I would say that's a fair description.
Happy. Yeah, I'm not happy. That's
you should play the off-putting thing for yourself then. Like,
I really should. Right. You're
hey, give yourself the pity party that you deserve, man.
You're right, Patrick. I need to be good to me.
I need to be good to you.
Aw, Puddin'.
There you go.
You see that? That's good.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Ah, brings a smile to my face. Brings a smile. I'm feeling better already.
Greg DeMarco
is a great lover.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
There you go. Well,
Let's work backwards for a moment.
Okay.
This is the Greg DeMarco show. We have Jack Jameson showing up here in about an hour. Hilarious talent out of Anarchy Championship Wrestling in Austin, Texas. By the way, good friend of Sue Young. And
nice.
Just saying, somebody is a good friend of Sue Young is on the show for an interview. Someone might want to call in during his interview. It's all I'm saying.
Jeez.
Hour number two, if you want to hear the voice of Sue Young, that might be your chance. She's actually she's in Northern California right now wrestling. So,
nice.
Helen will be back next week. Bruce Santee will be on next week, and Patrick O'Dowd next week. I mean, this is 2013 has been like, we're like a military family in 2013.
Yeah.
We moved a lot. And, well, damn it, Patrick, now we're moving again.
I've heard a rumor, reportedly.
Reportedly, we're not going to be, global. We're not going to be part of a universe. We're not going to be nationwide. No, Patrick or Dowd, we're going to be what?
Worldwide.
Yes, it is official. Bruce Wirtz already spilled the beans by tweeting it earlier today. We've decided to go home. For like the fourth time this year, the things just didn't turn out to be as promised. And I've decided that, you know what, just go back. Just be done with the fun and games.
We are the supermodel girlfriend of wrestling podcasts. We have our wants. When we don't get what we want, we move on. It's not personal.
It's I'm doing what's best for business. How about that? I'm doing
you can
it's just repeated email after repeated email of this, wait for this, wait for that, email on Monday, get a response on Thursday.
Anybody got time for that?
No, and so, yeah. And not only that, Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going back to 411. It's a package deal. Deal is already in place. I will be brand. I'm not going back to the Wrestling 5-1. That is Tony Azzaro's thing now, and he is taking it and doing what he wants with it, and I'm happy with that. Nope, I have a brand new column set to debut, so it'll actually run on Sundays, which works well for my schedule in terms of putting it together. So get ready as the world's most dangerous columnist presents to you the world's most dangerous column, starting next weekend at 4-1. So that is the name, by the way. That is the name. Yep. So there we go. So worldwide next week, and already Bruce and I are already talking about a lot of fun things in a good way. I'm not saying that to be facetious. I'm excited, and should be good. Yeah, I popped a message over earlier in the week after dealing with some more BS, and it was done, and it's good. Now the next step is just to tell them about it. You know.
Oh,
I've been a busy person. I know.
Go burn.
That's what I do.
Hey man, never say never. It really mirrors the world of professional wrestling.
You're like Bret Hart coming back to embrace Shawn in the middle of the ring.
You're welcome.
I don't even know why I played it. I just played it because. So, yeah, it's good. So it is. It is indeed good. But, yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited. It'll be 3 hours live if we go 3 hours. It'll all be live. Don't worry about the archive. 800 numbers back. The community's back in place. It'll be a lot of fun. So back to Hell in a Cell as Steve Cook will be joining us here in about 10 minutes to talk about the reaction to the show as well, which I'm super excited about. I mean, is anything else you want to say about Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton? We've kind of already talked about where we go from here, at least with Orton.
Yeah.
I don't know what we do with Daniel Bryan, to be honest with you. I know there's the rumor that Daniel Bryan would face John Cena with a Bella twin in each corner. That excites me. Bryan and Cena is great. But here's the thing. Cena just won his belt. You really think Bryan's going to go over Cena again?
No, not at all.
No. Daniel, how about this, Patrick O'Dowd? If Chad Perry were here, I would feed him this question, and we'd put percentages on it, and I'd probably be like, 65% chance Daniel Bryan is about to get Dolph Ziggler in the WWE. That's what I'll say. That's my fear right now. And he's more over than Ziggler ever was.
That's true.
But maybe it is building to Triple H versus Daniel Bryan, which I think should be a match at WrestleMania 30. But they've just done so much to make us afraid of otherwise.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know what makes sense at this point anymore. I don't know. Does he go get married and go away for a little while, and maybe like I almost feel like we need no Daniel Bryan for a little bit.
I know, and that's sad.
That's what we said about
Ryback. Remember, that's what we said about Ryback, and that's what we've said about who's left that isn't damaged goods? It's like, this is what they do. They damage everyone. They turn everyone into damaged goods. Ziggler, damaged goods. Ryback, damaged goods. Daniel Bryan is now damaged goods. Orton was damaged goods, and it took like over a year to recover from that. So who's next? Is it time to damage the Shield? Can we push Big E to the moon and then damage him too? Like, what can we do next?
Well, you know, the Shield's not that far off. I mean, you know, here you've got Cody and Goldust, and we keep wondering when Cody is going to get his big move up.
Oh,
and clearly he's not.
And what's step two after that big move up, Patrick O'Dowd? Damaged goods.
Damaged goods, yeah, you could get de-pushed. We know, like, you went through the list. You've got Sandow, who's been just put under a thumb. The Miz got obliterated today. Like, who are the good guys? Like, what is Kofi? Is it now, you know, is it time for Kofi to lose some more? You know, now that I really think about it, because you're right. Like, there's no good guys.
No, is that the true test in the WWE to see if a guy can really take hold of the company? Is can they recover from being damaged? Like, is that the test? Just because that's all they seem to do.
Yeah, well, it's for all the work that they talk about trying to get, like, you know, good writers that'll tell a story, and they talk about going to, like, TV writers and all this. They sure don't know how to finish a story in a satisfying way. Like, television, like, there's one satisfying ending to a story we've seen.
Right.
And that happened today during the other Hell in a Cell match, if you think that's the end of the story.
Right, and who knows? Who knows if that's over?
Yeah.
And if that is over, then is our next story Randy Orton and CM Punk. But then you got the Big Show. But then you got the Big Show. Or maybe Punk takes time off, which has been rumored. Who knows? He is, just like he's always rumored to retire. The day he retires, we're not going to move. CM Punk's going to be the one guy that retires and actually goes away, besides Edge. But Edge had to.
This is his last day in Ring of Honor. Yeah, Edge didn't have a choice, so you got to...
Exactly. CM Punk's going to be the one guy who has a choice and retires and stays retired. That's what he's going to do. Who knows? I'll be honest with you, Patrick O'Dowd. If AJ Styles would show up on Raw tomorrow, nothing's going to make me happy. And that's not going to happen. So, I mean,
shows up on Raw, drops a TNA title into a trash barrel and sets it on fire, and
yes, pretty much becomes Medusa, which is about what they would do with him.
Punks out Randy Orton. Jobs to him in a minute.
that's
after
the second time
title ring.
Medusa's come up. That's pretty impressive. That's
so
I feel like I'm in physical pain, to be honest.
It was so funny because this had such a promising start of a pay-per-view. Like when you look at the opening match and I actually, I was following the pay-per-view on Twitter, and most of what I understand of what happened has come from the reports. But for all intents and purposes, from what I've read and what I've caught in terms of what people have reported in regards to the the triple threat tag team match, that was good stuff with a lot of quality.
It made
Cody and Goldust look like $1 million and didn't really hurt anybody at all.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean,
rest of the pay-per-view happened.
And the rest of the pay-per-view wasn't bad either, though. People are crapping on this thing because of certain aspects they don't like.
Yep.
Look, Los Matadores was not a bad match with the Real Americas. People just don't like the finish, which we all should have known. Look, why would the Real Americas win that match? It was all about El Torino, and that's all that mattered in that match. Because that's really all that matters. I swear to God, they came up with this entire gimmick just because of the little midget bull.
I'm sure.
That's the only reason why they came up with this whole gimmick. They were like, Primo and Epico aren't doing anything. And they just ran with it. And whatever.
Let's become a midget and see
good
what
for that.
Happens.
Big E and Dean Ambrose was a great match. Probably better than Big E and Curtis Axel was going to be. No issues there. Sandow and Kofi had a good match on the pre-show. The Divas match was the Divas match. Nothing special there. The Fandango crap
mixed
fest
tag
with
thing,
it was kept short. Whatever. Cena and Alberto Del Rio did not have a bad match. The main event was great up until the finish. From a wrestling perspective, there was this show was fine. But they bound for glory the shit out of it with the finishes. And that's just what, and the wrestling was way better than it was at Bound for Glory. And the crowd was insane. The crowd was phenomenal. I can't speak enough about how great this crowd was. But it just it just was bad in the end. And that's what happens. And you know what? You reap what you sow. And they don't care because we're not the paying audience that is really driving the money.
Yeah, but we've talked about this on multiple shows. You've written about it in multiple columns. But we have the platform, so damn Skippy, we're gonna use it to express our displeasure. Let's talk about some of the good. You brought up Big E Langston. I wanted to ask, do you think that the match was plotted in any way similar to what would have happened if he'd taken on Axel?
I have no idea because Axel is a completely different wrestler than Dean Ambrose.
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of the finish.
I don't know if because they're, you know, they obviously have plans for most of these people. As much as we like to think they don't, they have plans for most of these people. And so they might have plans for Ambrose that involve him hanging on to the champion, to the U.S. title. But they might not have those plans for Axel. And so maybe Big E would have taken the Intercontinental Championship. It felt right for Big E to win the Intercontinental Championship right now. Like, Big E is over. He's a big man. He's agile. He's kind of everything they want. I think he can be a star. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Star.
But, yes, don't be a bully. Be a star.
See, and I do wonder if, you know, I'm not sure. I wonder if the original plan was to, you know, sort of build Big E's credibility by having him obliterate somebody,
right,
but not win the title and
possibly,
you know, still protect Axel. You can still do that with Ambrose and protect Ambrose. So, you know, from that perspective, that's just why I wondered, because it was a very, for our last minute match, that finish was kind of that seems like a very challenging finish to put together on the fly.
I'm sure the finish, they knew the finish as they were going in. But the again, Big E not damaged, like
no,
that's just the fear. That's just the fear that they strike in us.
Yet.
Yep. Yeah.
They wear us down. They'll beat you into submission. Clearly, we don't know who they see as the true big deals are. Well, we do.
We do. It's Randy Orton and John Cena.
Yeah, I was like, but the idea of the next big deal, that's really where the question comes, because we are not – what we see as commodities that could work clearly are not bought into by the WWE. Like,
right.
They're just not. And who knows why.
And with John Cena, actually, you know what, I'll wait on that question that I had, because it's a good question to even present with our good friend joining us once again. Talk some pay-per-view, have a good time, and that is, of course, Steve Cook. Steve, welcome.
That's right. It's welcome, guys. It's hell in a cell, as somebody once said a long time ago.
Brother. Yeah, it seems somebody's probably responsible for why Daniel Bryan, they didn't finish the story off the way they should have, or at least in our opinion. Steve, but what's your opinion? Coming out of Hell in a Cell, how did you feel about the decision to put it on Randy Orton and to do it the way that they did it?
Well, I mean, it's tough, man. We talked about last week about how, you know, it might be time to put that title on Daniel Bryan, but I guess they're going to keep putting that off. The whole Shawn Michaels thing, I mean, if you want to go to what back in the day, making Shawn Michaels a referee of anything is a bad idea. Because every time he's a referee, people get screwed, you know? Bad stuff happens every single time. I mean, whether he's super kicking people for no reason or whether he's super kicking somebody for actually a reason, it's just bad times happen. And that's why I say that the people who didn't vote for Bob Backlund, they screwed this matchup. You should have voted for Bob Backlund, damn it. Because Bob Backlund would have called right down the middle, because he's been good and he's been bad. And if anybody got out of line, he'll put them crossface chicken wing. He would put Triple H in crossface chicken wing if he had to, because he's Bob Backlund. That's just what he does. So, you know, it's the fans' fault. But, you know, it's always the fans' fault. And isn't that the trend nowadays? Whether you're a wrestling company or whether you're a football team or whatever, it's always the fans' fault, right? That's what we blame now. It's always
exactly.
It's always their fault.
We don't
it's
know anything.
You know, you don't buy the pay-per-views. You stream them. Whatever. Everything's your fault, damn it.
Yeah. Wait,
yeah.
It's my fault?
You said something about, you know, Daniel Bryan doesn't get the belt yet. Do you think yet's ever going to come to fruition?
Well, I mean, they can actually do that now since John Cena is the World Heavyweight Champion. And now that belt can be the big deal, right? We can build that up.
That's what I was waiting on and wanted to bring up when you came on the air, because there are rumors out there that they're going to unify the belts. And so do we think this is a step in that direction with John Cena and Randy Orton being the two guys to fight over the unified titles, and then by God, Superman John Cena gets to be the one to unify the two belts back together. Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah, probably. I'm just, you know, at this point, that's where I am. Like, I don't know that I want that to be the narrative and how it goes, but it would make sense to have one belt. I don't know. I'm disgusted with the idea, Greg, and shame on you for making it sound plausible.
Steve.
Wow, very, very positive, Patrick.
Shame on me.
I'm a little down today.
Bastion of positivity over here, but
yes.
You know, how many, I don't know, how many times have we heard that, you know, the world championship and the WWE title can be unified? I think haven't we been hearing that ever since they got separated very much? It seems like
yeah.
That's a rumor that just will not die. And until they actually do it, I just have a hard time believing it, because it's just one of those rumors that never goes away. And honestly, it would kind of make sense from the standpoint of, I don't think we like having two world-level titles has kind of diluted both of them, where there's only one
right.
That really matters at a given point in time. Like, as long as Alberto De Rio's had, hadn't really mattered. And, you know, hell, going back a couple years now, you know, the world title hadn't really been on the WWE title level for a while now. So it would make sense to
right.
kind of condense them, but, yeah, and you have too many belts around, I would say, and it's kind of to the point where most of the belts don't mean anything, but... Again, it's one of those things I just have to believe when I see. So I don't see it happening right now.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Like, we've heard it a billion times before. It just seems more plausible now. And maybe that's because now is today, and we're in today. Who knows? But I honestly think that, I don't know, I'm willing to buy into the rumor, I guess.
Rumors,
again,
rumors. Did that come from sources?
It
I don't know.
Reportedly.
We'll get to that.
Reportedly, this
is
going to happen.
We'll get there. We'll get there. did you like the match up until the finish, Steve? Like, did you think it was going well until all the extracurriculars got involved?
It was fine. I mean, Brian and Orton, I think they've put the match on pay-per-view way too many times, to be honest with you. They just keep doing it pay-per-view after pay-per-view after pay-per-view. It's a point where you kind of get burned out on it. But the guys do have good in-ring chemistry. It's tough to... I don't think they've had a bad match once you take out all the bullshit they do at the end of all these matches, which you know,
right.
kind of puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth. As far as Hell in Cell matches go, it was a fine, decent match. It's certainly better than the one they had earlier on the show, but that wouldn't have taken much anyway. Yeah, but then you get to the end, it's kind of puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth, which I guess we're all used to by this point, apparently, but I don't fault Daniel Bryan or Randy Orton. They both put on a good show, and I'm not against Randy Orton having the title. He's done a fine job from what I've seen, and pretty much every match I've seen him in, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely come.
I'm not an Orton hater by any means.
Yeah. So can I ask, here's the other thing that, you know, you brought this up, Steve, you talked about, well, as far as Hell in a Cell matches go, .. Neither one of these matches really felt like they needed a cell.
No.
Like,
certainly not Punk and Ryback.
Certainly not Punk and Ryback, but one of the things that has gotten lost a lot of times with the Hell in a Cell match is the use of the structure and how it can be used to be a part of the match as much as the competitors were. The big spot, for example, in the Daniel Bryan Randy Orton thing that, you know, I saw most responded to was a stack of chairs that somebody got suplexed onto.
Well, partially.
You could have done that anywhere though. That's my point is that other than I you know, from what I could read, you know, people being thrown into the cage wall like they often are, what was really that devastating or special about the structure?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Well, Paul Heyman got on top of the cell. That's kind of funny. I was hoping that when he got laid out on top of the cell, that he would have stayed up there for the whole show.
I know. I saw that.
Nobody would have got him. He would just, like, stay
That
would have
been
there.
Great. The cell lowers back down, and here he is still up
he's
there.
He's still laying there, like, what? Somebody get me off here. That would have been funny, but unfortunately, they didn't do that.
That would have been good.
But if that, but if that's what people remember the most out of two Hell in a Cell matches that happened on a pay-per-view, then you didn't use the cell properly.
Well, no, and that's part of the problem when you have these gimmick match pay-per-views. When you have the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and the TLC pay-per-view and whatever, just it dilutes the value of the match. You're supposed, theoretically, going back to when they started Hell in a Cell, it's supposed to have these feuds going into it where, you know, they've done everything else they possibly could to each other. You got to put them in Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. Now, for the most part, it's just like, okay, it's October, it's Hell in a Cell time, let's throw a couple people in here and see what happens.
Which, you know, we ask this question a lot about the thematic pay-per-views, but do we need to do away with the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view?
Yes.
Sure, I wouldn't be opposed.
Without a question, and it is for all the reasons that you just heard Cook go off on right there. Like these, and it's even the gimmick paper, the gimmick pay-per-view in general, doesn't really work too well.
There's one
except for
the
Elimination Chamber. I like the Elimination Chamber match.
I'm okay with
that
too.
I think I'm fine with that one. Money in the Bank. I would argue that I can't stand Money in the Bank because of what I feel it's done to some of the, you know, possibilities in the world with the World Championship. But the match itself is very exciting.
Probably make it better. Maybe if they had one Money in the Bank match. Because having two
kind of
dilutes it.
If we unify the titles, we can have one Money in the Bank ladder match. And I even said before they ever had the pay-per-view, I remember at WrestleMania 26, I even, you know, to Patrick O'Dowd, I said, that match could have its own pay-per-view. And you know, lo and behold, we didn't have a radio show, so I can't claim credit for it. But lo and behold, that match gets its own pay-per-view. I'm okay. It's funny. The feud-ending thematic pay-per-views don't work, but the multi-man, you know, like King of the Ring could still work. Survivor Series could still work. But it's the feud ender. The Hell in the Cell is really the one that doesn't work. Even, you know, Elimination Chamber, six guys, whatever. It puts the competitive aspect back into a championship or back into a match, which is fine. But Hell in a Cell just doesn't work because the last decent, good Hell in a Cell match, Triple H versus The Undertaker. That was at WrestleMania, not at a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. So I think it's time to do away with the pay-per-view.
But there was a story behind it. Like there was heat to the competitors, and I think that there was a way that you could have done it with a Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. The problem is that it wasn't really in the nature of their feud and where they're going, because it was less about the two of them and more about people on the outside who were impacting who wins the title.
They had Big Show running last month, and theoretically they could have had the Hell in a Cell keep everybody out. But instead, they decide, hey, let's put a referee in. And you didn't want to put a referee in, and then, you know, shit was going to go down. So
The Hell in a Cell could have been used creatively in both matches on this pay-per-view and still had it work. You could have had the gimmick where, you know, Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton need the structure to keep everyone else out to have the clean winner, which works if Bryan is going out on top. And obviously that wasn't the case. And the other match, it would have been the best way to use that gimmick would have been Punk versus Ryback. If Punk wins, he gets Heyman in the cell. Heyman can't run, Ryback's out. That would have been fine. Creative ways, you don't need to bleed, the cell makes sense. Orton versus Bryan has been one of the longest built feuds the company's had in a while. The problem is they made it about everyone but Orton and Bryan, and the last thing it was about was a WWE championship. It was about all these other things and not the WWE championship, which has been held in abeyance since the night after.
Hey, abeyance is a hell of a champion, all right? I was really sad to see abeyance drop
the title. Abeyance ain't the guy, brother.
Hey, Abeyance just moved on to another company. That's all that happened there.
That's
Abeyance
true.
Was like, whatever,
that's
I'm going to TNA.
Oh,
Till next week. I can't wait.
Dixie's listening.
She's going to get out her synonym and antonym dictionary and find another word.
You heard it here first. Great DeMarco show, kids.
The Autumn of AJ. You know, I was only kidding when I said that.
I know. Well, he's going to go defend the title as the true champion in Japan.
They might as well, since TNA's not getting any shows.
In Mexico. TNA's not going away. Let it go.
No, but
well,
let's, you know what?
I'm thinking about that myself.
Let's put that on hold for a second. Overall impressions and any additional thoughts you guys have about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Steve Cook, we'll start with you.
Money in the Bank pay-per-view?
Money in the Bank, Hell in the Cell. It's all the same.
Trying to go back to a better one.
Match of the night was the opener. Tag team title match, the Red Dynasty and the Shield and the Usos. That was some damn good stuff. They got the show off to a hot start. And that got that crowd you mentioned earlier going. They were pretty into that. Goldust, he's got to be the comeback guy of the year for sure. He's got into great shape. He's like the Goldust of old. And you got to figure that if they don't keep the Rhodes brothers together as champions, eventually, you know, I thought it was silly when they first said it, but I think Goldust probably will be putting Cody Rhodes over at WrestleMania. That could possibly happen. I can see it happening now. Big E Langston, he's a star, man. I mentioned last week in my tirade over at 411, that guy's a big money ball player. He's just waiting to happen. Too bad the Axel thing happened, because I figure he squashes Curtis Axel, but unfortunately they want to keep Ambrose protected. They want to keep the belt on him, so they kind of had to have that shit finish that they had there. So that's a little disappointing, but Big E still looked pretty good. And I felt sorry for Zip Coulter, getting beat up by that damn bull. Poor bastard. AJ and Brie, they had a match, I guess, and I don't know if they're teasing something with Brie or Nikki or whatever, but, you know, it's fine. I don't mind having the Bella Twins on my TV ever, so it's cool. I like them.
I agree. Patrick O'Dowd, any final thoughts on Hell in a Cell?
I feel like while the results are disappointment, I do want to see it before I really, I guess, crush everything that happened from it. And, you know, hopefully Monday Night Raw will just make me feel a little bit better about, you know, tonight. Because right now I'm not feeling so great.
I guess for me, it had the opportunity to be great. The all the pieces were in place to make this match matter, to make the WWE Championship more important than it's been in quite a long time, and to really finish the Daniel Bryan story properly. And just didn't do any of it. And it is the fact that this pay-per-view for me is marred by the fact that it literally, in terms of the big developments, nothing on my playlist happened. And I'm succumbing to the playlist mentality, and it is what it is. For me, look, I'm using Patrick O'Dowd's playlist mentality. Steve Cook's It Is What It Is. All at the same time. But that is the God honest truth. So,
and John really Cena's champion, sadly, I don't even care enough about John Cena's champion comment on it. Like I say, it is what it is. John Cena's a champion. It happens all the time.
Surprise. Yeah. John Cena champion, in other news, Sky Blue. Like, it's just it's just uninteresting. It's a different belt. It's a belt he hasn't worn in a long time, but it's a different belt. Different belt. We got a caller. Caller from the 412 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
JD from Pittsburgh. First time caller, guys.
Oh, thanks so much for calling in, JD from Pittsburgh. We appreciate you listening. And thoughts on the pay-per-view?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was a very bullshit ending, if you ask me. I don't know what the hell they were thinking there. I agree with you about the tag match. It was a good way to begin the show, obviously. I mean, it could have gone another 4, 6, 7 minutes easily. I mean, it's by far the match of the night, considering they went 15 minutes. I don't know who, I mean, Fandango and Summer Rae, along with Schmally and Italian, also the freaking Matadores against the Real Americans, had to kiss ass with this week, obviously, to get a paycheck and get them as bonus matches. But come on, give me a break already. I mean, it's just pathetic. I mean, the whole AJ Brie Bella thing, I don't know where they're going from there with that. I think Cena obviously winning the belt tonight was kind of a mild surprise in The Rock's hometown, mind you. And I do think you're going to see maybe him and Sandow possibly at the Survivor Series. But I just think, once again, you had to find a way to have Randy Orton obviously kissing Triple H's ass, mind you. Like, he's been kissing his ass like crazy along with Stephanie. And, of course, you get a cheap fluke victory over Daniel Bryan, who's been busting his balls like crazy. And what happens? They screw him over once again. So the question is, what's going to happen tomorrow night on Raw? I mean, we're supposedly hearing Vince is going to be there on Raw. However, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But my question is, however, as far you mentioned one guy you were talking about earlier, however, what is the status as far as Curtis Axel goes? Is it 6 months, a year? I mean, what have you guys heard about the latest about that?
If it's really – first of all, JD from Pittsburgh.
And I'm awesome!
Great job on your first call, and I appreciate it. If this were – this was the Jim Rome show, we'd be instructing someone to rack you right now, but it isn't. So I don't know. Like a hip flexor injury, Steve, as closely as you follow and cover sports, like what is usually – assuming this is really a hip flexor injury, what usually comes of a hip flexor injury?
A hip flexor usually that's around 4 to 6 weeks in baseball. I figure that usually seems to be the time frame for it. I'm thinking May Axel might be out for a month, maybe 2 months. I mean, if he's John Cena, he'd probably be on tomorrow night, but he's not John Cena, so. But I expect him to be back in a month or two. I don't know.
You'd have to expect that if the injury was something truly serious, we'll probably know within a week to 2 weeks because they'll take the belt off of him if he's going to be gone for a really long time. So
they could have Big E just squash him, and they could probably manage
yeah.
him without doing any damage to him.
Well, why not do that tonight?
Why didn't you have that tonight when Big E was challenging Dean Ambrose? He could have won the U.S. champion. I mean, do you do that tomorrow night on Raw?
Well, yeah. may they have Big E do it on Raw to get more eyes on it because more people watch Raw than they watch Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. No, and maybe they just needed to make sure Axel can even do that. I mean, they are gonna, this is a safer WWE than it ever was before. So.
My second point earlier. What about Vince? I mean, what do you do with Vince now with him coming back to television tomorrow night in Orlando? Do they do something with Vince tomorrow night? I mean, where do they go with Vince McMahon? We've heard the authority for weeks on end with Stephanie,
right.
Her big mouth. And I mean, get her off my effing television already. I'm tired of her little bitchy anything every saying, I'm bitch show. Who do you think you are? Shut the hell up. You're like Vicky Guerrero, Stephanie. Go back to being a mother and wife. And I'm not knocking her by any means, but we don't need to hear her whiny, bitchy, prissy voice every week along with Vicky. Please.
Love it. I love it. I honestly think the only thing I can think for Vince to do is what's been rumored. He comes back as a face. He gives the Big Show his job back. He somehow gets involved with the other people that the authority have been putting down. It probably builds to something in Survivor Series. And then who knows what happens after that. Maybe they are going with Vince and Triple H at WrestleMania or some other family storyline. It's nothing that's striking my interest. Patrick O'Dowd, what about you? Anything that strikes your interest?
Not particularly. I'm really not that excited about it. But, again, we've made a very big point today to talk about how we're not in charge. I do. I think we're looking at Big Show Randy Orton. I really do. And I really hope I'm proven wrong tomorrow.
Right.
Well, let me say this, guys. What do you think about this, though? Maybe have Daniel Bryan, Big Show, possibly maybe CM Punk, and maybe one other person taking on Orton, The Shield, or maybe possibly the Rhodes family or something like that, maybe, team up on a 4-on-4 match, like a War Games type thing. I mean, do you think that could happen, maybe, possibly? Like
I don't think they'd go War Games, unfortunately, as much as we want them to. But Survivor Series next pay-per-view, that makes perfect sense, what you're saying. So
it would.
It definitely would.
Yeah.
So awesome. Well, JD, thanks for listening. We definitely do appreciate it. I'm not going to hang up on you if this is the way you're listening, if you're listening on your computer, either way. But I'll put you back on hold and call in anytime. That's for sure. You're always more than welcome to join us. So I think that kind of does put the exclamation point on our pay-per-view. I can probably make Jack Jameson wait like an extra 10 minutes. So that'll be okay because I want to briefly before we do Patrick O'Dowd's bullshit internet report of the week. What is up with the rumors that Steve Cook was just talking about? Do we think TNA is really for sale?
You know what? I've kind of heard that off and on, not from like anybody who had any insight into anything, but honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. Simply from the fact that Dixie's been made a heel, maybe that's gonna be Dixie's goodbye. Once they buy the company, why would she still be around? So she gets to be the heel. She says goodbye, and then the new owner comes in and takes control.
Patrick Goddard, I just want to read you part of the report. It is coming from Dave Meltzer, and it says Dave Meltzer has claimed that the Carter family are considering selling the company to the highest bidder. So again, could easily be speculative.
They might have been considering that since day one, though. You never know.
Right.
I mean, somebody makes the right offer. What the hell?
Well, and again, it's a very typical kind of report in the sense that, you know, you throw that out there. Like, what company is not, you know, looking for the right offer if it were to come along and present itself?
Right.
Like, you don't know.
Outside of the WWE.
Outside of the WWE. I will say this, you know, given the state of TNA and the amount of changes that have taken place and sort of for better or for worse, I think that you can see in the product that there's definitely a shift in where they're going. And so when you see a lot of that sort of uptick in turmoil and turnover, it does sort of add to this possibility that that there's some strength to the rumor that TNA is a little more than just if a good offer comes by kind of up for sale, like that maybe they really are up for sale. And, you know, to speak to your point, Cook, you know, how do we know that there's not already something in the works or in place? Like, we don't. Like, that exit for Dixie makes a lot of sense if that's where they're going.
And Jeff Jarrett all of a sudden coming back and being more involved
backstage.
Yeah, suddenly
he's back
that
and involved.
That might be because
of
something. Something's got to be up there.
But can't all these same things just be indicative of the company trying to make changes to actually be profitable so it's viable?
Absolutely.
And not just a money dump that it has been for Panda? So I don't know. I have no opinion yet because I'm not ready to believe the story yet.
Yeah, I think there's enough there this time to where the rumor is a little stronger. That's, you know what I mean? That's where I guess I'm really going here is it could be a load of crap. It could be, you know, typical bad reporting out of an internet rag. But this is one of those where I do kind of wonder a little bit how true or not true it really is, because I could believe it. You're seeing, like, we're talking wholesale changes, Greg. Like, this is like a new, like it's a reversion to an old direction.
Sounds like a radio show you might be a part of.
Yeah, it's definitely like they just get something like that gives a rumor such as something of the company being up for sale. It just gives it some credibility. It really does, because you're trying to make it. You're also trying to make it look appealing. And right now, might be kind of tough to be like, hey, you want to buy this show that's failing in the ratings and can't draw on the road? We're awesome. We have overpriced talent that we can't afford to pay.
Way to no sell my talking about the show with all of that.
That was a no selling, dude.
It was.
I just shook the ropes. I was fine.
Phil O'Dowd doesn't care about that backstage politics.
No, he basically told me.
You know your damn role and shut your damn mouth.
And that's what I did. So, all right, Patrick O'Dowd, let's we can talk more about the potential sale. Next week's probably going to be a TNA heavy week. Sorry, DOC Nation. As we come back and talk a lot about TNA, right? Well, it'll be a normal show. We'll start at 10 o'clock Eastern. We'll have plenty to talk about. One guest, it'll be great. It is time, though. Still no soundbite for the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd's bullshit internet report of the week.
I love this.
Take it away, Patrick O'Dowd.
So we've got three nominees again this week for internet bullshit report of the week. The first two come from our favorite internet wrestling news source, The Wrestling Observer. The first one that I'd like to share was the one that kind of made my head explode a little bit. According to The Wrestling Observer, Yoshitatsu asked WWE's officials if he could move from Florida to Texas as he found a Japanese community that he was comfortable and interested in living in. The office, reportedly, Triple H said he needed to stay in Florida and work in the Performance Center every day to become a better worker. This seemed odd to most of the wrestlers, as they consider him one of the best workers, and he is trained because he's trained with New Japan. He's 36 years old and not really the type of guy who needs that much practice. In the same report, it said that Sami Zayn is seen as really good, but he needs to stop climbing the ropes and appealing to the crowd because Vince reportedly hates it when people do that.
Great. Yeah, when Stone Cold Steve Austin did that, it was awful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that was terrible.
Hated it. Thoughts, Greg? Did Greg go away?
I don't know. Greg might have gone away. Was...
Go for it.
Moving from Florida to Texas, I mean, you know, it's not to blame Yoshi Tatsu. Didn't Funaki live in Texas for a long time?
I think he did, Maybe
Funaki lived in the same Japanese community. I think Funaki was tight with either Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels. Don't remember which, but, you know, and that's part of how he stayed around for so long. And Yoshi Tatsu, by the way, what does he do now? What show is he on?
He's basically that sort of filler guy that you see on Superstars. Or not Superstars, Main Event. Sorry, I went old school there a little bit. He's part of the traveling roster. Like, I know he does, you know, it's not like he's not going from place to place. He's the filler guy. Like, he's a good jobber for somebody who needs to get over, and that's kind of become his place. So.
And is he ever going to get anything better than that?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that he's not going to get some magical push to the mid card even. Like, he doesn't have the charisma of, say, a Santino Marella, where when he shows up he pops the crowd. He's basically the Asian Justin Gabriel, and that's okay. Except he has no upside, whereas I think Gabriel has some upside if they ever wanted to try and take advantage of it. It seems like an odd sort of thing to say unless they're getting ready to cut him loose or something and they just want to keep him nearby. I don't know that I buy that either, but
if they're going to come loose, they might as well just let him move to Texas.
Yeah, let him move, yeah.
Like, go ahead, buddy. By the way, see you later.
Yep.
The sad thing is I don't even doubt that this is true because it does sound like something that they would do.
I think that it's a little bit of a tough sell. Like, it's plausible. But at the same time, you wonder, you know, a guy who has been legitimately, like, a part of, you know, and I guess it goes into that question of, you know, how the WWE views people that they bring in and what kind of training they've had prior to coming to the States or for working for them. It struck an odd chord. So I really do question it. The standing on the ropes thing with Sami Zayn, though.
That's dumb.
I need to know one wrestler who doesn't climb the ropes to get, you know, some love, because they all do it.
I mean, if they said that they don't like it because everybody else does it, then I would say, okay,
then
well,
it's a little
maybe
more
there's something
credible.
There. But, you know, Vince hates it.
Yes.
Vince hates
oh
it because...
God.
Especially the playing of the crowd portion, like appealing to the crowd. I mean, Hulk Hogan, like, that's what he did. I mean, hulking up was nothing but that. And that's what Generico made his career on before he became Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'll say about Yoshi Tatsu and the story and why. I'm more in the Steve Cook camp than I tend to believe it, because why in the world would you make that up? Like,
true.
I mean, you have to be deep into your news day with nothing to talk about to try to bust out that speculation. Like, how do you...
Really, any story on Yoshi Tatsu, you got to be pretty hard up.
Right, exactly.
No kidding.
Like, it'd be different if it was, like, Cody Rhodes wanted to move with his new bride or something like that. But Yoshi Tatsu, I mean, that's props to them for remembering Yoshi Tatsu is with the company. Like, that's just why I just can't... I can't doubt it just because...
I want to hear about where JTG is living these days. Where's he at now? Is he in Florida? Did he go move somewhere?
I thought he died.
TNA. Oh. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
I don't know. All right, what's our next contender?
So the other story from our good friends at Wrestling Observer, provided us with a delightfully insightful look at Cody Rhodes' commentary, saying that Vince McMahon was reportedly really frustrated with Cody on commentary because he was supposed to take charge, but Vince had to feed lines to JBL to increase intensity.
Here's what I think happened here, Patrick. I think Dave Meltzer was watching Raw, and Dave Meltzer was thinking, wow, I think Cody should be more forceful on commentary. I think Cody should be more aggressive. I bet Vince is feeding lines. Oh, sounds like a news story.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened.
Well, and I think that as evidenced by this morning, or this morning, the opener of the match, it feels like it was this morning. It was so long, you know, a handful ago. Like, if you're frustrated with a guy and you're in the doghouse, do you then immediately pretty much make him, look golden, even in a pay-per-view opener? I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
I think that, you know, some of these wrestlers are horrible on commentary. They're not very strong anyway. And honestly, who hasn't been fed lines when they've been
on commentary? CM Punk, who has about it?
I do think JBL is Vince's new guy, so you should get a few lines to him and whatnot. As far as Cody's commentary goes, it was, you know, kind of there. Not the best thing ever. I did like him kind of taking a shot at Gerald Briscoe by insisting that he and Goldust were better than the Briscoe brothers. And Gerald probably had a fit over that.
Well,
yeah. And he only said that. He only said that to rip Gerald, so I enjoyed that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Why not speculation that when he said they're better than the Briscoe brothers, that meant Jay and Mark were going to be signing with the WWE? Why not that speculation? That would have been more fun.
It would have been a lot of good fodder. So the last.
Hang on, report. Steve.
Oh, sorry.
Steve, you're gonna love this one. You're gonna love this one.
Okay. The last bullshit report that I'm nominating for this week is actually, it's kind of a personal favorite piece of bullshit that comes out after every pay-per-view, usually TNA pay-per-views. But ProWrestling.net provided a reader report from TNA's Bound for Glory, citing the attendance as 900 to 1,200 and indicating that AJ Styles, Sting, Samoa Joe, Gail Kim, and Bad Influence, all of those people, it's like basically half the roster, got the biggest cheers.
Didn't want to narrow it down or anything?
Direct quote, by the way. Not biggest cheers. That's exactly
the biggest
cheers. Not biggest pop, but biggest cheers.
Yes. The biggest boos, cheering Bad Influence. The biggest boos went to the Bromance, Bully Ray, Kurt Angle, and the Kurt Angle / Bobby Roode ref. Not the most heat, but the biggest boos. No cheers or boos were received by James Storm and Gunner, Magnus, and Ethan Carter III. And his wife, who hates wrestling, had lots of fun.
That's nice to hear.
That's very nice. There's a lot of things that I have to say about this real quick. One, nobody cares.
Stop
sending the report. Nobody cares.
Stop printing the report.
Stop printing it. Internet wrestling sites, stop doing this. If you need to get somebody at a pay-per-view and you can't get somebody there to actually give a report, then don't take Joe Fan, who's talking about his wife and how much she hates wrestling but had a good time. Like, that's crazy. And nobody can take a look at an arena and guess attendance. 900 to 1,200, you gave yourself a window of 300. Like, that's a radical difference to see a crowd of 1,200 versus a crowd of 900.
You're coming in 700 below the lowest somewhat credible report I've seen.
I hear like 1,000 below. I mean, my goodness.
The lowest I saw was 1,900, and that's the top of your range is 700 below. Unless you have a good working knowledge of the arena, like I had a good knowledge of the GCU arena because when Bound for Glory was announced for there, I dove in. And that's why I knew that there were like 4,000 people there because I studied the arena and knew how they were using it. But yeah, I just, you know, we need to stop clicking it because then the sites will stop reporting it.
It's good fodder for this segment. Everybody else, you all can stop reading it. But like, this sort of stuff for me because again, after every pay per view, some Joe and I get you want to be a fan, you want to get thanked by ProWrestling.net. Woo, good job. but nobody cares.
You ain't on the list, bro.
Oh, damn.
It's one of those things that's mind-boggling. And I remember when I sent, because we send these throughout the week, and I sent it, and Greg, your reaction cracked me up because you were like, "This is stupid. Why? Like, this isn't. Who cares?" And I'm like, I was like, "This drives me nuts because this is a bullshit report that gets credibility by websites when they put them up." And people can't even count. Like, they can't. When we went and saw the show in Boston, and we saw the number of people that were there for Slammiversary, and then they came back, and Joe the Reader was like, yeah, there were only like 1,000 people there.
Yeah, there was like $2,600, $2,700, maybe $3,000.
Like, stop yourself, you idiot. Stop.
So we don't have a drum roll, Patrick O'Dowd.
No.
I'm going to get a drum roll.
But this week's Twitter for me, hang on,
I got to build. So in lieu of a drum roll, Patrick O'Dowd.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
There you
That's
go.
That's better than a drum roll, in my opinion.
Of course it is.
But the winner for this week, I am going to give to our good friends and still champions, the Wrestling Observer, for the Cody Rhodes commentary story.
Yay.
Just give you a break.
That Can anyone knock Dave Meltzer off the pedestal? That's what this is going to be called.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco show.
I just felt like playing Morse Young for Patrick O'Dowd.
And I appreciate it. I was just thinking about this. We could, on the Greg DeMarco Facebook page, we could just take submissions.
Ooh!
People think it's bullshit, put it on the Greg DeMarco webpage. We'll put your bullshit up on the internet.
Wow. Leveraging social media, Patrick O'Dowd. I might have to promote you after this. Like, this is this is amazing, Patrick
O'Dowd.
Now,
here's a question, though. As a former internet well, not really former, but as a guy who's written wrestling stuff in the past, can I enter my own internet reports? Can I make stuff up and possibly make your list?
You can.
You might as well. Because here's the thing. After this week, and I won't do it today because we're already 10 minutes late, I have the formula for starting a successful wrestling website. We'll talk about this next week, but I figured out the formula, how to use what Dave Meltzer does and make ourselves successful in starting a successful wrestling news site. I'll leave it at that. We can talk about it next week. So, awesome. Good stuff. Well, Patrick O'Dowd, next week we return. October is the worst month ever for this program far because we had 3 or 4 weeks of pay-per-view Sundays. And damn professional wrestling for doing that to us. But next month we return back to normal. Heather will be back. We have one guest. We have the full program. We can talk multiple topics, and it'll be a lot of fun. And it'll be back on the VOC Nation. Be like we never left. It'll be all the same fun stuff. So excellent. So, and Steve Cook, obviously, the door is always open.
And I'll take my step through when I feel necessary. You know how it is.
Sounds good. We appreciate
thanks
it, Steve Cook. There we go. Oh, well, thanks for having me. I cut him off, Patrick. Now that's why I was like, that's right. I got people waiting. So, Patrick, anything for the good of the people before we take a musical break and I go get the guest.
No, just have a good night. Look forward to seeing Raw, and hopefully they'll prove us wrong.
There you go. That's right. And go Cardinals.
Aw.
See what I did for you?
That was so kind.
That is what I do. That is what I do for you. Steiner line or man called Sting, Patrick O'Dowd? You make the final call.
Man called Sting.
There we go. Patrick O'Dowd next week. We'll take a break, and I'm going to go...
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
five women being promoted by one guy, and everybody seems to get along. Tara, it seems like you guys are just fine with each other.
Of course, we all have a common love, and that's Greg DeMarco. We all love Greg DeMarco. Greg DeMarco.
You are not the fire.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
And we are back, only 17 minutes behind schedule, which if you've been listening to the show for the past 2.5 years, you know that's not too bad for us. So awesome. But we have a chief guest. Super excited to bring him on, of course. Let's play the appropriate guest soundbite. It is time. Very excited to bring a man on board of the show, a guy who stepped in for Candice LeRae. We were going to bring him on in the future anyway, but super happy to bring him on now. A guy I had the pleasure of meeting in person finally just this past Thursday night, so just a few short days ago, and that is Mr. Jack Jameson. Jack, thank you so much for finally joining the Greg DeMarco Show, and we are excited to have you. The MILF Hunter, Jack Jameson.
I do love me some mothers. It's what I do.
I do too, but just the one of my own children.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was sweet.
I have to. You know, for a 36-year-old woman who's bared two children, she's doing really well for herself physically. So I'll just leave it at that.
Aww.
Just leave it at that. She likes
I
to show it off.
I can't not respect that.
She likes to show it off during the radio show just to show me what's waiting sometimes. That's what I have to deal with. That's what happens when you film it, when you record a show in your living room. That's
fair enough. Fair enough.
We pull back the curtain. So, Jack, you know, of course, you and I had the opportunity to meet. We've been talking on Twitter. Thanks to the fine folks at SlamU Pro, but you've got so much more going on than that. So let's introduce the listeners who may not be familiar with you to Jack Jameson. Just kind of tell them what you're all about, and then we'll dive into some training after that.
You know, I am a man among men. I am representing 100% manarchy, and I may or may not have a beard of solid steel.
Yes. Yes, at Jameson's Beard on the Twitter, by the way, if you want to follow Jack, please do. The perfect Twitter handle. Some Twitter handles don't apply. It's like at too sexy for you, and then she's like 400 pounds and not too sexy for me.
It's kind of like those situations where you see those overweight women, and they have the shirts that read like too sexy for you or you couldn't handle this.
And you're like, yeah, you're right. I couldn't handle that. Nor do I want to.
No. Weight limit on this ride. Ooh, did I say that out loud? I am
so
sorry.
You did. That's okay. But take us back to the beginning. Not the training that everyone's going to want to hear about, but the training before that. How'd you get your start?
I actually got a full ride. I always wanted to be a wrestler. And my mom, God bless her, I'm a mother, the son of a mother, my mama's boy.
Son
she basically
of a mother.
Said that
That's
I am,
good.
I'm glad you got the reference. I was not allowed to wrestle in any capacity until I got a degree to fall back on. So I said, screw it. Like, I got offered a full ride to Texas State, so I got a communication and psychology degree. And then they offered me a full ride to grad school at OU. Mm. So did that. It was great. But, you know, as soon as I got that master's degree, they didn't offer me a PhD scholarship. So I was like, all right. And it's hilarious. I tell this story all the time. But It's one of my favorites. I was at a family dinner. I just got my master's. And my grandpa goes, well, cool. Are you going to get a PhD now? And I go, well, they didn't offer me a scholarship. And he goes, well, all right, what are you going to do then? And I go, well, I'm going to go to wrestling school, which I did. Now, keep in mind, I learned very quickly that when you have an apartment, you have a lease to uphold. So, right. You know, I looked like – it's funny. This is actually the first time I've ever admitted this, but I was watching Christian Cage from TNA, as WWE fans would know him as Christian, and halfway through his DVD, he was like, you know, hey, I had this scholarship money from college, and I used that for wrestling school. And I had gotten a scholarship outside of my FAFSA. I had gotten a scholarship to for school. And I was like, cool, I got this check. And as that happened, I was like, oh, my God, I could use it for wrestling school. So I may or may not have used that money towards wrestling school without my grandpa and my mom knowing. I mean, my philosophy was this. It was meant for school, right? They didn't specify.
That
so
is
I
true.
Trained at a – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was like, you can't use federal financial aid on wrestling school. Not yet.
I am proof positive you can. But I Googled, like, immediately as soon as I saw that. I Googled wrestling schools in Oklahoma. And don't get me wrong, I'm from Texas, where wrestling is huge. We'll get to that later. But no, I, you know, Googled Oklahoma City Wrestling School and found Mid-South Wrestling. And Tom Jones trained me. And, you know, as much as I'd like to talk well about it, it really was one of those schools you always hear about where they teach you three moves and they say, well, congratulations, you're a wrestler. So,
I
went that route. I'm sorry?
You're like, I don't feel like a wrestler.
Well, it was one of those, like, looking back on it, they needed a spot, and I think I was in 3 months. And I got thrown into a match because they needed an extra person. And at the time, I was like, oh, my God, I need the spot. Yes. But looking back on it, I wish so heavily I would have said no because, you know, I had no psychology to it. I wrestled a guy that should not have been carrying a first-time wrestler. Everything about it, every element about it was wrong. But it got me my in. I mean, I was in.
Right.
And, I mean, the rest is history. I started in Oklahoma, wrestled for Sooner World Class Championship Wrestling, where 6 months into the business, I won their tag team titles. And, you know, it was a learning experience. It was a learning experience. That's all I'm going to say about that.
No, I could definitely imagine. But your training didn't end there, of course. You did end up going to someplace. I'm sure more people have heard about your next school than have heard about Tom Jones.
Yeah, I you know, I stumbled into Texas, started training there, and just realized that, you know, for being in the business at the time 2 years, I just wasn't happy with where I was at. So for my 26th birthday, my grandpa sent me to the Lance Storm Wrestling Academy.
So Grandpa came around on the idea of wrestling.
You know, it was one of those, he was just happy that I was doing something. Like, from day one, I wanted to be a wrestler. Like, that's all I wanted to do. I had three goals in life. To open up a bar, which I have yet to do, to work at SeaWorld, which I was fortunate enough to do.
Nice.
And to be a pro wrestler. And, you know, I had done the SeaWorld thing, and it didn't work out. And I started doing the wrestling thing, and I got 100% behind it. Like, at the time, I worked out every day. I found a job that would allow me to do it. And my grandpa at that point was just like, hey, if that's the way it's going to go, like, I'm going to support you. And so, you know, my grandpa's actually been there a lot more for me in my wrestling career than I ever thought he would. Like, there have been times that I've had, you know, I've gone on road trips where people that were supposed to ride with me backed out at the last second, and I had nothing. Like, you know, with that third or fourth person, we'd have been fine, but without them, we were screwed. And my grandpa was just like, hey, don't worry, I got you, and deposited money in my bank account so I could have money for gas and just took care of me, him and my mom both, you know. I've been very fortunate. But they have been completely supportive 100%. And I, you know, couldn't be happier.
Awesome. Awesome. Very good. So how did you found your way to a new school, though? And let's talk about the new school a little bit.
Well, the fortunate thing about the Storm Academy I was actually a part of the smallest class in Lance Storm's history. We had six gentlemen starting off, which is funny because we were the only class that didn't have girls, so none of us were distracted.
Right.
But one of them dropped out. Actually, one dropped out. The other decided to be a referee. So it was four students that just had Lance Storm's attention, and you couldn't ask for more than that. Like, you know, you have two and two paired up, and you have Lance Storm's undivided attention. And it was truthfully the biggest blessing I've ever had, because Lance was able to get to know me on a personal level, studied tape with us, and just got to know what we needed to work on and improve on that. And it didn't hurt that, like, most classes, when, you know, you have 15 or 16 kids normally, we knocked it out in about an hour and a half. He was like, well, what do y'all want to learn? And at that point, you're just like, oh, my God, well, I want to learn this, and I want to learn this, and I want to learn this. Or, like, what has honestly saved my career, getting to be able to go, well, I want to perfect my gimmick, which is funny because the gimmick I currently have, you know, joke or not, is myself times 10.
Right.
Like, that's what I love about it, is that learning Lance Storm's way, you learn that, you know, the best way to make it in wrestling is to be yourself in spandex.
Right.
The only thing different about you should be that you wear spandex as a male wrestler. And,
true.
You know, that you can't put that into words how meaningful that is.
Yeah, and I know that before you got that advice from Lance Storm, you kind of would play almost any gimmick, correct?
Yeah, I was that kid that just, you know, I was new to Texas, but I was, you know, I was decent enough to get booked, but, you know, not really anything standout-ish. So at that point, I just really wanted whatever I could get. So I literally would go to these, like, there used to be an ongoing joke in Texas that I had 15 gimmicks. Because I'd go to one promotion, they were like, well, we need this gimmick. And I'd go to another promotion, and they'd be like, I need this gimmick. I think I was Iranian at one point, at the same time that I was a royal king, at the same time that I was an everyday man, at the same time that I was a bodybuilder. Because at one point, I had that kind of body.
That is
amazing. Oh, yeah. Listeners out there, please, I am begging y'all, find a gimmick and stick to it.
What's the craziest one you did? It might be one you've already said. It might not.
Oh, God. The craziest one I ever did was being Prince Amir Hamid. The Iranian one. And it was funny because I wrestled for this promotion in Austin, Texas. You know, I'm going to be nice and not say their name. But long story short, this was a promotion that constantly promised the students, like, everything. This is the school that I went to before I went to Lance Storm's Academy.
Right.
And at one point they had this TV deal with this, you know, local TV studio. And we did one show for them, so I'll give them that. But outside of that, we didn't really do anything else. And for the longest time, they were like, we want you to be this Iranian monster. We want you to be this. And I'm just like, that's not me. It's not what I want to do. For the love of God, I'm Mexican. I'm like, and they would critique me constantly on my Iranian accent going, it doesn't sound real. And I'm like, well, no shit. Give me a fucking burrito. I'll fucking give you a promo like a motherfucker. But at the end of the day, I did it because, you know, putting in your career, you just hear these promises of TV and you hear these promises of this and that. And you're like, same thing with, you know, earlier, like we were talking about where these people offered you a spot on their show by doing this gimmick. And you're like, I just want to be booked. I'll do it. And, you know, I was like, cool. I know for a fact, because they had these tryouts for this TV show. And they were going to do contracts and everything, because everybody and their mother wants to be WWE.
Right.
So they did the contract thing, and they did everything. And it just, I knew that if I were to do this gimmick, I would make it on the show. And
right.
It's funny because they actually called me first and said, hey, you're the very first person we want to sign to our new show. And I just remember not being happy about it. like picture perfect story of selling out. Like, I was just like, this is not a gimmick I want to do. Because I've never been a fan of the stereotypical gimmick. You know? Like, don't get me wrong. A gimmick needs to be done.
Right.
But once it's been done, it's now stereotypical.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I'm just not a fan of the easy way out. And that's just my philosophy on it.
Right. No, that makes sense. But you talked about how what you do now is yourself times 10. And it got me to thinking versus, you know, there's kind of three things that I see. There's taking a gimmick. There's developing your own gimmick. But then there's kind of developing a persona. And do you think what you have is really more of a persona than a gimmick, per se?
You know, I don't think so. Because, honest to God, I mean, you saw me this past weekend. Or, excuse me, this past Thursday.
Right.
And everything I said in the ring was on the fly.
Right.
And that's what I love about it. Like, now granted, yes, I will say it's a persona in the sense that it is my own persona.
Right.
But that's the problem with wrestling nowadays is people forget is just that, the independence. Like, be yourself. Because what I've learned is when you get to the WWE or the TNA or the fill-in name here, you realize that if they have a gimmick that fits you and that's why they hired you, as well be yourself so that they can fill you into that voice. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen so many times on TV people that should not be there. And who am I to critique? Like, they're clearly there for a reason. I will not critique them on that note. But what I'm saying is they were themselves, and they were able to find a spot that fit them. So probably go ahead and say that it is a bit of who I am, but at the same time, it's a bit of a persona. Well, what's funny is the MILF Hunter was actually derived from college. I got paired up with a random guy. Like, I went to Texas State University, and, I had my friends, but I always had this mindset of they pair you up with who you need to be with. And so I just voted for a random roommate and met this guy named TJ. TJ and I just had a conversation one night. Like, we had this ritual. We were like, we're too poor to buy porn, so we're going to watch Cinemax. And so we're watching Cinemax, and we see this really crappy Cinemax porn on MILFs. And we're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Well, incidentally, my roommate's favorite movie was Reindeer Games with good old Ben Affleck.
Right.
And he goes, oh, God, if I had a girl that hot, I would fucking hunt reindeers till the sun goes down. And I go, well, shit, if I had a MILF that hot, I'd hunt her till the sun goes down. We looked at each other and we were just like, oh, my God, we're the MILF hunters. So flash forward to the very first SLAMU University show. I don't know why I said university. We're just talking collegiate here. But whatever.
Of course.
First SLAMU show. They wanted me to be in a tag team. So I called up one of my buddies who wrestled with me at ACW named Steve Patine. And due to his job and things of that nature, I mean, I'm not going to knock him for it. It's not his fault. But he wasn't able to come. But we had this tag team built up based on this story called the MILF Hunters. It was going to be great. Like, we had tag spots ready. We had everything set up. And then he couldn't come the week of. So I had already ordered tights, like, so excited
right.
about this tag team. So I get there, and they're just like, well, screw it. We love the idea of the MILF Hunter. Like, this will be your gimmick. And I was like, I mean, okay, cool. So it just kind of went from there.
Nice. So so the MILF Hunter gimmick, and then it just kind of rolled with it, obviously, because, you know, you're still using it, and people seem to love it. I'll be honest with you.
It's gotten me more and more alcohol at SLAMU shows. I mean, for the love of God, my pre-show match this last show, the bartender just gave me a free rum and coke.
Right. You needed it for the match, so he handed it to you.
Yeah, we'll go with that. We'll go with that.
And then, of course, and then a fan bought you one. I mean, that's just the great thing about wrestling fans in general, especially the SLAMU wrestling fans. They're a blast like that.
I'm a huge SLAMU fan. Like, they are doing everything right. Them, and you know, at the same time, I got to give a special shout out to Anarchy Championship Wrestling in
mm-hmm.
Austin.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about them. Don't worry. I got them on the agenda. I got them on the agenda because I'm a big fan. We've talked about them on the show before,
yeah.
And we're big fans of them in general. But what you've talked about, and even, you know, I remember a conversation we had with a fan in the lobby who was talking about, you know, how funny it is and comparing you to people like Santino and Colt Cabana. And there's this phrase that I keep hearing in the world of professional wrestling, and I wanted to ask you about it. That's the phrase, funny don't make money. So here you are doing a lot of comedy stuff. Do you hear that, though?
I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll tell you what makes money, being yourself. My initial reaction when a fan makes a comment is to react to it. And I don't care what anybody says. Sure, WWE, you know what? Whatever they say makes money, makes money. On the indies, funny makes money. And I don't care what anybody says against that. My entire career on the fact that if you can be a natural comedian, go
right.
for it. Bring it to the ring. Because, again, can't stress enough that the best gimmicks are you times 10.
Right. No,
and
true.
I'm not saying I'm the funniest guy in the world. I am by no means saying I'm the funniest guy in the world. But at the same time, I've yet to have a match that someone didn't laugh at.
Right. No, it's true. And
no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think everyone looks at, you know, like, that they don't look – the phrase make money, I think, isn't one they're using properly because they look at, like, well, who's the champ? You know, Colt Cabana was never Ring of Honor champion. Santino's never been WWE champion. Like, I think that's what they kind of base it off of. But there's a whole card to put on. So
here's my argument.
Kind of what you're getting into.
Here's my argument. Santino Marella in his first match was Intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
Santino Marella, during his comedian run, was Intercontinental champion. He was U.S. champion. He held titles that most people could not even dream of holding. Like, as long as you do what you do well, you're going to make it. And that's, again, I know in this interview I've beaten this down to a pulp. But
it's okay.
You just have to do what you do well. Like, there's nothing worse than a skinny guy being told, hey, you're a heavyweight.
Right.
Or a 6'6" guy being told, hey, you're a cruiserweight. You know? You have to
right.
be able to do what you do well. And that's the problem with wrestling. Is, don't get me wrong, like, as a child, I loved Macho Man. I loved Undertaker. I loved all these heavyweights. But at the end of the day, I'm 5'9". And I'm also
right.
235 pounds. So I'm in an awkward state where I realize I'm too short to be a heavyweight, big to be a cruiserweight.
True.
So you learn to adapt with it.
And the thing that I will say for those, the funny, the comedic wrestlers, the list that I named off, you know, Santino, Colt Cabana, you know, Kikitaro from Japan, the one thing that I think people let go of or fail to realize sometimes is those are some of the best technically sound wrestlers usually on the card that they perform on. And people don't get – Santino can go. You know, even though he's not used in that way sometimes, the man can wrestle. And you as well. Like, there was a lot of technical aspects to the matches that you put on just this past Thursday. I don't even think people, you know, paid as much attention to because you were making them laugh.
And that's the thing about it is, I, you know, people don't realize that, you know, hey, you may be a great theorist and a philosopher. But if you're making money in mathematics, why aren't you going to go that route?
Yep.
But don't get me wrong. I could catch myself on fire and go through a table. Like, you know, do all these things. And don't get me wrong. That's not an insult. Like, one of my biggest mentors, Darren Childs, did that. And it made his career. Like, it was what started a great career. It's not for me. It's not my route. But I guarantee you, I will have those crap people laughing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And it's crazy because you just look at these situations. And so many people want to be heavyweights. So many people want to be the high flyers. But you got to remember, on a card, it's like managing a wait staff and realizing that, cool, you may not be the best waiter, but you're a badass host. Cool, you may not be the best host, but you can fucking run some food. You're a great expo. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You have to be able to find what people are good at and bring it out of them. And that's the problem that I feel with wrestling, is that so many people want to be what they aren't. When in reality, they should just, and nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, no, you make a very good point. We've talked about, you know, you talked about Darren Childs. We've talked about Anarchy Championship Wrestling. So let's go into that. I mean, would you say that, you know, if you had to label the quote-unquote home promotion, that it is Anarchy Championship Wrestling?
Absolutely. I would never have been a part of National Pro Wrestling Day. I never would have been a part of Slam U. I never would have been a part of half the stuff that I've gotten in wrestling if it wasn't for Darren Childs. He has single-handedly made my career. And, you know, most people argue, oh, well, you did it yourself, but he gave me the opportunity. And because of that, I am where I am today. So if I had to pick a home promotion, I would most definitely pick ACW.
So what makes ACW special in comparison to other promotions?
I mean, where to begin? ACW, in my opinion, is the new ECW. In the sense that it's anarchy. There are no rules. There are no limits. I mean, for the love of God, Angel Blue kicked me off a balcony. But at the end of the day, ACW is the only promotion that I know of that has destroyed the gender barrier. Because it's the
yeah.
only promotion that when a man wrestles a woman, it's not intergender. It's not man versus woman. It's a match. It is a match. I'm not going to lie to you. The most hard-hitting woman I've ever seen is Athena. The most brutal match I've ever been a part of was with Angel Blue. These women come to the show and just kick ass, not physically, but mentally. These girls are legit. And at the same time, it has some of the most untapped talent in the world. It's got Matthew Palmer. It's got Davey Vega. ACH got his start there.
Yep.
I mean, I can't stress enough how much talent is at ECW. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, it's going to be the next big thing, because I honestly feel it is a big thing. Like, again, I sit here, I told you this on Thursday, I'll tell you it again. I would not be here on this podcast talking to you if it wasn't for ACW.
Awesome. No, and that's, you know, we've heard, we've been lucky enough to have, of course, you know, Sue Young talk about ACW and Barbie Hayden talk about ACW, and to a person, I've never heard a bad thing about the company. Never.
I mean, my big thing is this, like, some of my best friends in the business, I met through ACW. I met Sue Young, who made a terrible business decision in joining the business at ACW. But you know what? She's still my friend. I'm going to look past it. Leva Bates, my tag team partner, my Mega Man powers. Paul London. I can sit here on the phone and tell you I am a current tag champion with Paul London because of ACW. Christina Von Erie, who I learned has the same birthday as myself.
Huh.
ACW. All these little things I've got from that company. And it's funny because people don't realize what untapped talent there. JC Bravo, Stan Summers, these guys that are on the pre-show could run circles around any other show, and they're on our pre-show. Like, it's incredible. And don't get me wrong, Slam U is right there. Like, they have what it takes. Coming up.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's why, you know, I could hitch the trailer to any company in Arizona, and that's the one I've gone with, just because that's the things they've been able to do, and it's definitely been great, and something that I definitely want to continue to grow. We talked about Texas. I mean, you're smack, you know, dropped in the center of Texas, biggest, you know, huge state. Ton of wrestling. What is it like just wrestling in Texas in general? I mean, is it, you know, it just seems like poor Blake Barbie Hayden, I'll give you an example. We talk all the time, like you got to get out of Texas. And she's like, it's almost impossible. There's just so much wrestling here.
It's hilarious on that note to say that, because I did National Pro Wrestling Day, and you realize, mm-hmm. like, how close Philly is to New Jersey, is to New York, is to all these states.
Right.
But for the love of God, I could, on the East Coast, on the Upper North, on the, you know, Lower East South, if you will, you could hit so many different states in the same amount of time that it takes to get through Texas. Like, trust me, I have wrestled in El Paso, and from Austin, that drive sucks.
I bet. Yeah. I want guys from this state make that drive. They go to El Paso.
God, I feel terrible for their souls.
But that, I mean, you know, we've talked so many times on the show before, like, it takes that. It takes hitting the road and going out there. I mean, can you think of, like, just some crazy show that you went to that you were like, what the hell am I doing here? But yet it turned out to be just, like, one of the best things ever.
I've got a better story on the what the hell am I doing here. So I had just got back from Canada training with Lance Storm. I got back and hooked up with a buddy of mine, Bolt Brady, who, while I was in Canada, was just sending email after email after Facebook, trying to get booked everywhere. And he got booked at OCW in Kansas. And to let you know, kind of, let me give you a preface on this promotion. OCW stands for Ortega Championship Wrestling. The promoter is named Mike Ortega.
Gotcha.
Are we kind of on the same page?
Yes.
Well, Bull Brady actually got the 411, if you will, on this promotion based upon this manager saying, hey, I really want you here. I want you to be a part of my clique, blah, blah, blah. Please join. And, you know, I just got back to Kenton, and he's like, hey, man, I don't want to make this drive alone. Will you come with me? I'm like, yeah, of course I will. This motherfucker was the worst driver in pro wrestling history. There were about five or six times in this drive I closed my eyes and assumed I was going to die.
Oh, no.
Okay, so you know when you're going on the highway and you got that kind of like that four-leaf clover leaf loop?
Yes.
Try taking that at 60 miles an hour.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
I closed my eyes and thought I was going to die.
Yeah, that's not a good idea in general. Wouldn't recommend
it. No. I may or may not have cried on the inside.
At least you made it.
Thank God.
At least you made it out of there alive. Which is, sometimes, that's, sometimes you got to depend on other people for rides, and making it out alive is the best thing that can happen.
No. There's a reason I currently fly to most shows that day. Thank you, Ortega Championship Wrestling. You taught me that I need to fly. And thank you, Southwest Airlines, for building up my fire miles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, freaking fire miles, I'm sure, is many a wrestler's best friend.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was that important until I started wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that's why, earning that flight is such a big deal. And some indie companies have even tried to work it into storylines. So I don't know if we should go that far, but they have.
Nah.
Not a good idea. So you get a chance to work with a ton of people. And one of the things that we always love to ask our guests on the show is who's that person out there that we're not watching, that we're not paying attention to? The ACH a couple years ago or whoever. Who's that person out there that we're not paying attention to that we should be?
I've actually got two. In the Texas St. Louis area, hands down, it's Jojo Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down. Now, granted, me and him currently hate each other because he's a part of the business at ACW, and I hope he burns in hell. But pure talent alone, JoJo is the best. Like, for being 5'4" and hanging with these monsters and just beating them and just being so pure in the ring, he's definitely someone in the future y'all need to look out for. The second is a gentleman by the name of Buku Dao in Louisiana, who wrestles for Wildcat Championship Wrestling. And for the love of God, he is so good that it's ridiculous. I would probably put him as my number two on the list of people that haven't been seen yet.
Right.
Like in the States.
Gotcha. You mentioned in the States, you went to England recently, correct?
I did. Wrestled there for 3 weeks.
Gotcha. Now, did the MILF Hunter, did that work in England?
The MILF Hunter didn't really get across as much as my beard did. Fun fact about this beard, every night that I went to a pub in England, wrestling aside, I would always have at least one girl come touch my beard and say, that is amazing, may I touch it?
And you're like, oh, you meant my beard. You're like, oh, you meant
oh
the beard.
Oh, my God. Sorry. My phone may or may not have had 15 extra numbers in it based on that. Thank you, beard. I got a SIM card for England so that I could text these girls. And it's not even because of my game. I have no game. Ladies, I have no game. I just have a badass beard. You know why I know that? Because I went to England.
That's right. He told you. That's good. And here's the thing. There are a lot of beards in professional wrestling right now.
There are
beards everywhere. Are we reaching the point of beard oversaturation?
It's getting there. It's getting there. I mean, remember when there was a strong saturation in strong style, and there was a strong saturation in, you know, fuck the system?
Uh-huh.
I mean, my thing is this. And granted, I'm never going to knock my beard because, A, it's my beard, and, B, it's made of steel. Why? That's neither here nor there. But it is becoming a point where I'm just like, all right, I get it. You have a beard. Cool. Go away. What else do you have? Like, don't get me wrong. I have a beard of steel, but that's not who I am. I am 100% manarchy. I'm a man. I make baby Jesus go, I want to be him one day. That's a problem again. You know, it's hilarious because the beard wasn't even supposed to be my gimmick. I grew it one day, and a fan tweeted, oh, by the beard of Jameson, blah, 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 blah. Sans Eamon Patton.
Huh.
But at the same time, like, people don't realize that you don't just pick one thing and make it your gimmick. You are yourself. I grow a beard because I'm too fucking lazy to shave this thing. My beard is too thick. Like, no, I say this being completely serious. I literally cannot shave my beard if not done with a Mach 3 razor.
Wow.
And let's talk about how expensive that shit is.
Yeah, no kidding. You're not going to get that at dollarshaveclub.com.
I tried shaving my beard with a dollar razor one time. After about 15 razors. And,
oh, no.
15 razors and a lot of fucking lotion on my face. I realized that maybe I shouldn't just shave. Which is why I can, you know, understand when people punch me in the face and they hit my beard and they get hurt. Good. You shouldn't have punched me in the face. My beard's thick. People think it's a quote-unquote work. It's not. My beard hurts people. Or as I like to tell the ladies, my inner thigh exfoliator. Oh, I went there. Oh! My God, sell the T-shirts now.
You should. You better patent that. Quickly.
God. No, it's cool. It's on your podcast. I have proof positive that
it's true.
It's mine.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. No one can take it from you. No one
can. That's what she said. Up, ladies. I'm a MILF hunter.
That's true. You most definitely are. How many times are you at a wrestling show and the MILF hunter thing strikes up the conversation with the MILF?
It's hilarious you say that. So the first time I ever did the MILF hunter gimmick ever was in St. Louis Anarchy, sister promotion of ACW. And I tagged with good old deathmatch specialist Ron Mathis, who wrestles out of, you know, Ohio and the Midwest
mm-hmm.
area.
Oh, yeah.
But they tagged us up randomly, and we ironically had matching gear. So we were like, oh, my God, we're a tag team, but we need a tag name. And I go, for the love of God, can we be the MILF Hunters? I've always wanted to do this. And they were like, he was just like, dude, absolutely, let's go for it. Let's do it. And as we come out to the entrance, this was just impromptu. We didn't plan it. I just go, oh, my God, where are there any hot MILFs? And this one girl goes, I'm right here. And Ron out of nowhere goes, We found our corner. We're standing here. And that's where our corner was the rest of the match. So Ron Mathis, awesome. Who is still one half of the MILF Hunters.
Of course.
Helped that story come to fruition.
So after all that time, it finally worked out, which is good because it needed to finally work out.
And what's funny is the fact that it worked so well is what had me debut that at Slam U. Like, just how well it went. We literally had a spot where he had a move, I had a move, he had a move, I had a move. And we go, M-I-L-F, Hunter, and we dropped an elbow. And the crowd just got so behind it because I'm not going to lie to you. You see a hot chick and you find out she's a mom, you're just like, damn, bitch came out fine. You're just like, I would hunt that shit. And I'm just like, I found a character that everybody can relate to.
It's true.
You know, we're not going to get into the dilfs because that's not my category, but ladies, to your discretion, do what you do. But for the love of God, like, I mean, it's just what it is. You just got to find what you are.
Yep, you do. No, you definitely do. One thing we like to do with our listeners is we like to bring them something different that they're not going to hear anywhere else, they're not going to talk about. So wrestling can't be, you've got to have an escape from wrestling. For most of us, wrestling is that escape. So what are you into outside of wrestling? Is it a certain TV show? Is it some strange, you know, you're actually a world champion squash player? Like, what the hell else is there that people would be shocked by?
I may or may not be the world's biggest anime mark.
Really?
I love Japanese cartoons. I currently own Full Metal Alchemist every season. I'm currently watching Godanner. I own World God Only Knows. I own Infinite Stratus. I own every fucking anime. Ranma One Half, for the love of God, made in 1989. I own that. I am the biggest anime mark in the world.
There you go. Which has got to be, you know, sometimes hard on the road because you've got to be, there's got to be temptation almost everywhere.
Not at all. Thank you to my Samsung Galaxy Note 3. I can watch my anime on YouTube.
There you go. That's got to help.
But I also, you know, most people like to know where people work in their, you know, off time. I am currently a manager at a Austin-based company called Fruities. So that pretty much fills up 99% of my time.
Right.
It was actually ironic that I got off of work an hour before you called. So I was able to actually eat some food and relax. And let's be real here. If you went to a Slam U or ACW show, they had 5 or 6 beers.
Yeah.
And got ready for this podcast.
Nothing wrong with that. My co-host, Patrick O'Dowd, who since it's a pay-per-view Sunday and it's starting an hour later, he's sleeping now, but he's been known
to
pour glasses.
How was the pay-per-view, by the way? I never got to hear about it.
Here's the thing, and this is part of it, it's just kind of the way I look at things. Anything that was good is going to be forgotten by how they finished the show, which was Shawn Michaels super kicking Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton walking out WWE champion. So
I was hoping they were going to go that route.
They did. And it was conflicted Shawn Michaels, even after he did it. Like, he's arguing with Triple H. Triple H is like, just do it. He's like, let me do my thing. And then eventually he does it. Daniel Bryan takes out Triple H. Triple H finds his way into the cage because Shawn Michaels falls down or something. So a medic has to open the door. So that, of course, allows Triple H into the Hell in a Cell structure. Daniel Bryan takes him out. He then eats a super kick, and Randy Orton becomes the WWE champion. So, yeah, the story wrote itself, but it didn't write that. But that's where it went. So, of course, you know, Twitter at that point just basically imploded. And anything good they did, which the triple threat tag match with the Shield, the Usos, and the Rhodes family was off the charts. It was great. It was the opener, and it was it's you know, hopefully people will go back and remember how good that match was. And honestly, the main event was a good match until that point. Despite the fact that we've seen Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton a billion times, they managed to make an entertaining match, and all is forgotten.
And see, that's my thing. That comes down to proper booking.
Yep.
Because, and it's funny, and I know I've done this a million times, but I've got to praise the Aaron Jobs one more time. At ACW, I have wrestled the business for the last year and a half. And somehow it's still relevant. Like, I remember watching WrestleMania 17 or 16 and seeing Rock versus Stone Cold. And then it clicking in my head, oh my God, Rock versus Stone Cold is the main event again. What the fuck? And just, but still wanting to watch it. And I have literally at ACW only wrestled the business. And somehow the fans are still behind it. And that comes down to proper booking.
Yep.
Like, I can't speak enough about ACW because they have, you know, I've beaten this down to a horse. They have made me who I am. But it's situations like that that I really kind of comprehend what's gone on, you know? And the fact that you've seen Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton three or four times and you were still invested in it, you still got the pay-per-view, says something about their ability to put a show together.
Yep. Yeah, but here's the thing, I don't want to see it again, I can tell you that.
You say that now until the next build-up. If they do it right, will want to see it again. You will want to see it again. And again, I hate using this metaphor, but I made it up right now, so I'm going to use it. You don't realize you're with the right girl till you realize you're with the right girl.
Sure.
You know, you will hop in bed with her, and as soon as you finish, you're like, I want nothing to do with this girl. But then the next day, you text her because you're used to it, and you build it up, and you build it up, and you sleep with her again, and guess what? You want nothing to do with her till the next day. Hey, you know, maybe you'll find another girl. Maybe you'll get infatuated with her. Or maybe, you know what, for the next year, you are going to stay with that girl. Wrestling is the greatest form of relationship ever. Because there are so many instances where you're just like, I want nothing to do with this person. I'm so burnt out of them. Oh, my God, I came to the next show. Now I am hooked on them again. Oh, blow-off match. I don't want anything to do with them next day. Now I want something to do with them. And people don't realize that.
And to be honest with you, we still haven't had the clean finish, so they could still do it again.
Well, guess what they're building towards? WrestleMania.
Was at this point. And see, that's the thing. Like, I thought that Triple H versus Daniel Bryan made sense at WrestleMania. But now it's like, are they going to bring Shawn Michaels out? Is he willing to do it? Because I'm of the opinion that a guy can retire and still wrestle a match because it's
I think,
you know,
people
are
looking past
okay.
The big issue. They're building up Daniel Bryan to be champion, in my opinion.
But I feel like it's...
And what
you
is
know.
What is everybody's dream Daniel Bryan Mania match?
Oh, CM Punk.
Nobody realizes that everybody knows that works for WWE.
Right, of
course. Nobody realizes that everybody knows that. So why not build toward... Because think about it this way. As silly as it is that nobody remembers that Undertaker and Triple H wrestled at WrestleMania, I believe it was 17.
Right.
When Triple H, right before he became a CEO, COO, excuse me, he cut a promo where literally he just walked out, stared at Undertaker, looked at the Mania banner, and left it at that.
Yep.
That was enough for people to buy the pay-per-view. People forgot about the first time because to them, this was the first time. Think
about
the company
that build-up
CM Punk, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. This would all
and
be
I
forgotten.
Absolutely. And I guarantee you, every indie worker in the world will buy that. Every smart mark will buy that. Why? Because it is ROH main eventing WrestleMania. I mean, the only thing you're going to get better than that is a fucking triple threat between Cassius Ohno, Antonio Cesaro, and John Moxley. Yeah, I may or may not have forgotten his WWE name.
Dean Ambrose. It's okay.
Here, we'll go with that. I like to call people I don't remember the name of Mitchell. There are a lot of Mitchells in this world.
Not apparently.
Dean Ambrose is one of them.
It's quite all right. It is definitely all right. So, by the way, just for our listeners, because we're into the bonus time now, Sue tried to call. She just tried to call too late because we can't take callers during the bonus time. So, Jack, Sue Young wanted to call. I know.
Fuck
she was
you,
literally
the business.
About, she's about 120 seconds too late when she tried to do it. And so, yeah, she texted me. That's right. Be jealous, listeners. Sue Young texted me. We actually text all the time. I love to rub that in your face.
She texts me. What up?
But you're a wrestler.
She knows what Manarchy is.
Yeah, she does. And she knows what Greg DeMarco is, too.
You know what else is crazy?
What's that?
That since she joined the business at ACW, she's intimidated to talk when Jack Jameson's around.
Maybe that's,
right.
That's
what not
is.
What happened. She timed it so that she would not get on the show, quote, unquote. Yeah.
She's been doing this. She's been doing this for a year and 4 months, so she knows how the show works. So you're right.
Well, that's proof positive that when Jack Jameson gets on there, she's intimidated because guess what? I am currently on a 2-win streak against the business.
Oh,
and I would have gotten a third one tonight had she gotten on the radio. So, Miss Sue Pikachu Young, you chose the wrong team, Bubba.
Yes, yes. However, she will like to remind us that she's two things.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
She's beautiful and she wrestles.
I am not beautiful. I'm a man. And I wrestle all day. Wait. Can I ask you a favor? As much as I don't care for her joining the business, I do love her Greg DeMarco entrance music. So can I get that really quick?
Of course you can. This is why I love when people listen to the show who come on the show. And it's rare, I'll be honest with you. Not everybody listens to the show, although some people do. But, here, and the listeners will love it, too. They all do.
We're beautiful and we wrestle. We're beautiful and we wrestle.
That was just on the tail end. That's not part of the theme song.
I was going to ask you when that came about.
No, we haven't so much this week. We did in the beginning, but, you know, I have this affinity for sound bites. So.
I'm learning.
We do play a lot of them. We do play a lot of them. That's for sure. So.
I'm not
going
to lie
so
to you. Miley Cyrus is playing in the background, and I don't know how I feel about this. I heard that.
I wasn't going to say. I can a little bit hear it, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this. I'm walking away from it.
You should, because if you don't, our listeners are going to start to think.
You have a vagina!
You don't want that.
Well, you are what you eat. Oh, there I go there. MILF Hunter Swag. MILF Hunter Swag. I said it.
You did.
You need a move called that now.
You do, and you could very easily... You could definitely pull that off.
So I'm actually going to be working for one of your DeMarquette's charity shows in December.
Are you?
December 14th, I will be in Huntington Park, California, wrestling for Tara Calloway.
There you go. Dropkick Depression. Of course, dropkickdepression.com. Get all the information you need about that show.
People, it's an actual good cause. If you can, add it on Facebook, find it on Twitter, donate.
That's right. Tara's an actual good person.
What? Since when?
She is. She is.
I did not agree to this statement. I was promoting her show, not her. Oh, what up, Tara? I said it.
She's a good kid. We love Tara Calloway. We do. We do. She is amongst the many women that I have somehow convinced to say they love me on the air. So
I have heard.
Which is funny.
I, as a manarchist, am jealous. I almost want to label you the next manarchist.
I can be the
next. In fact, I will. Steve,
I can.
Greg DeMarco, you are number two manarchy supporter.
There we go.
Not
I will.
A manarchist.
I will take it. I will take
That's
it.
What she
I
said.
Will.
That's what
I
she
will
said.
Take it. I am the I am the manarchist. And
now,
number two.
As a Greg the manarchist, I'm going to need you to summon upon all of your will to call out. That's what she said. You have to agree to this. It's part of your job now.
Sure.
Kind of what we do now.
I'll be honest with you. I've held off on getting a "That's What She Said" soundbite for the program for a very long time.
How dare you!
But here's the thing: I don't want to go like one from The Office, one from somewhere else. But now I could pull one from your interview, and a "That's What She Said" soundbite can live on forever with this program in your voice.
You could. In fact, you should.
In fact, I will.
Good, good. That is what she said.
Yes.
Done.
Yes, it is. So, see, I recruit DeMarquettes, and I build up the DeMarquettes, of which Sue is and Barbie is and everyone else. And never have I been recruited to be something, and now I am proud to say that I'm a manarchist.
You are Greg DeManarchist. Greg DeManarchist.
I am.
You have been recruited to an elite team of two, you and me. You know why?
Why?
No, really. Do you know why? I don't quite know why.
I don't either. It's okay.
It happens. It happens. It doesn't matter because it happened. Just embrace it. Go on.
I am embracing it. I am very, very much happily embracing it. So you put over where people can find Dropkick Depression, and we've talked about NXT Championship Wrestling. Where can people find you if they're like, I need to follow this guy, I need to find this guy because this dude is hilarious, I want to learn more. Where can they find Jack Jameson?
You can find me on Twitter, which is where I normally am, at Jameson's Beard, one word. You can find me on Facebook. Search Jack Jameson. I believe my current picture is with me and my current Kitty Misawa, both wearing Bucky shirts. It was also a picture of me and Leva as Mega Man Powers. Or you can email me at legendofjameson@gmail.com.
There you go. And it is Legend of Jameson is also the handle on Facebook. So facebook.com/Legend of Jameson if you're trying to find it that way. Definitely go ahead and jump in it because it'll be perfect. So wonderful. Well, we have enjoyed your appearance on the program thoroughly, and we definitely got to do this again in the future because it has been too much fun.
I am okay with coming back. I had a blast.
Awesome. So we love to hear, as we like to be guest-friendly on this show. And publicly,
if I may
make
a quick shout-out, I may, before you do that, may I do one shout-out?
Of course.
Sue Young, listeners, Sue Young was scared to get on the podcast because she knows by joining the business, she is now a Jack Jameson's bitch. Not a bitch, because that's rude, and I would not say that. But she is a bitch of Jack Jameson because I own the business. Now, no offense to your DeMarquette, because I know that's his thing, and I'm not going to ruin it. But damn it. Ah, Sue Young, give me back my portable DVD player. she may or may not have that. I want it.
Oh, she will hear that, and she will love it. Trust me. She will.
There's so many comments I can make in that route. But instead, I'm going to say, please Greg DeMarco, continue your wonderful speech.
No, I was going to thank you for, and I won't go into it because it's not about us and our show, but you have a lot of great things to say about our show and what we do when we met on Thursday.
I have a better idea. Let's make this about your show. Say it. I want to hear it because I'm not going to lie to you, listeners. When I was chatting with Greg DeMarco, when we were just chatting face-to-face, so many people walked up to this gentleman and were putting over his show, not realizing that Greg DeMarco was right there. It was the coolest site in the world.
It was one guy. It was one guy.
Greg DeMarco was several, and I may or may not have made five of them up. There was one that we will mention, but there were five in my head.
But I got to be honest with you, it was the best feeling ever, like, to have somebody say that and not know that I was standing there, you know, and him to be like, hey, I listened to this interview on the Greg DeMarco show. And you looked at me, and I was like, you know, this is supposed to be about the wrestler, not about me. But, yeah, I honestly thought he knew
who you were and that he was just ribbing you.
No, I don't think he was capable of ribbing. But it was great. I was super happy to have someone say that. And it made me smile, put a smile on my face, which is what we're all here for. It's to put smiles on people's faces. So, but I did appreciate it. I love hearing that people listen on the road and all that kind of stuff. So glad we can do that. And do hope that you will come back in the future and do this again with us.
Absolutely, my friend.
Excellent. We'll keep up all the great work. We hope to hear more good things from you. And hopefully some things will pay off. And maybe someday you will just be too big to even be allowed to come on this show, which is a big goal of ours.
You could do me a favor and record this next sound bit for me. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sue Young, you chickened out of the Greg DeMarco show, but I am challenging you to a match at ACW in the near future, where, much like the show tonight, I will beat you again. Boom.
Done. I will cut that out and send it to you directly, and you guys can use that however you wish.
Greg, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Anytime. Pleasure's all ours, and we'll do it again in the future.
All right. Y'all have a good
night. Sounds good. You too.
Bye.
There we go. Jack Jameson at Jameson's Beard on the Twitter. Lots of fun, and hopefully we'll do that again soon. He was definitely a couple drinks in, and that just made it all the more.
Tony versus Sarah.
I got to be right now, because I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
Speaking of a couple drinks in, that does bring us, of course, to the man himself, Tony Acero. Tony, what's going on?
Yes, sir. Not much. I'm recovering from the weekend that was last weekend, this weekend.
That took a whole week.
It took a whole week, man. Birthdays do not mess around, apparently, as you get older. I didn't know this.
True.
You didn't tell me.
Well, you know, it's tough sometimes. There were a lot of birthdays, too. Heather had a birthday. You had a birthday. All kinds of birthdays going on with the show. It's all, you know, I just got to get them all out of the way. All out of the way at once.
Nobody really knows this, but
Tony Fassero.
The softest lip. And sometimes, at night, we spoon.
That's our equivalent. I know. Surprising some people, too. That was our equivalent of getting your shit in. You know, wrestlers got to get their stuff in. We have to get that in there. That's just kind of what we've done.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Just got to get your shit in. That's what happens.
Got to do it, man.
Sometimes you just got to do it. So, I know you heard a good portion of Mr. Jack Jameson. Hopefully, you enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Incorrect usage of the word irony, but still a funny guy. I'm going to be seeing him in December, so I'll be sure to let him know.
Yeah, you will. You will be seeing him, and definitely should be a good time. A couple drinks makes it even better. So awesome, good stuff. So you know, Tony, John Cena, World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, man. You know, this is a rare occasion for me where I feel that, I mean, sure, why not? But beyond the fact that, you know, we had everyone make it seem like John Cena had been gone for 3 years on a long voyage of recovery from a testicular cancer battle, you know, that's really the only issue I had with his return. I mean, he's John Cena, whether you love him or hate him, he has a spot, and it just happens to be the top one. So I'm still in, like, shock that he's got the big gold belt that really, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Like, what's going on? You know?
Yeah. There's been some talk that they're going to reunify those things. What do you think about that?
I've heard that they're considering Orton versus Cena to tie up the belts. I don't know. I feel like they'd be ridding themselves of an opportunity. Well, then again, they haven't been doing too well of making that belt important, but that's not the belt's fault. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's a prop, but they could use it for something great. They can use it as having John Cena win the belt already makes it a bigger deal than it was yesterday. So I think that, you know, unifying it isn't the worst idea, but it's also not needed. They just need to get themselves straight.
But, you know, there's no more brand extension. I mean, could there be just one? Does there have to be one top guy in a company? Like, do we need that as viewers and as the people following the show? Like, because we kind of found ourselves in with having one top guy. That's why the World Heavyweight Championship was relegated to being a secondary title. Do we have that innate desire to have one top of the mountain?
I think to an extent there's always going to be a top of the mountain because that's what they've created. You know, from Hogan and before, there's always one name that stands amongst the rest. I don't think it's necessary, and I think there's been many moments in history where although there's a top guy, there's people right below him that are nipping at his heels. We just don't really have that. We do to an extent, but that's been the issue recently, where the dude is put so high on a pedestal that they're not, the ones beneath him aren't close enough. We want something, we want a transition. We want to be able to say, oh shit, our top guy's hurt, we'll put this guy in his place. Cena got hurt, there was no one to replace him. There's no one to even consider a replacement for him. And that's where they struggle because they focus so much on creating the top guy instead of letting the fans create the top guy that they miss out on an opportunity for anybody else beneath him.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that was evidenced by what we went through. And even when they had, like, Daniel Bryan, they tried to push him. It obviously didn't happen because they went the direction that they went. Daniel Bryan losing to Randy Orton thanks to the super kick from Shawn Michaels, kind of, again, the dreaded finish that you know, some predicted and some didn't even want to admit was a possibility. I mean, if they were to go, and I know even Jack Jamieson was telling us this, like it could still happen. They could still build to the big moment of WrestleMania where Daniel Bryan wins the belt. Like, would you buy into it?
The moment itself will be great, but the build-up and what follows after will not be great. We pay for moments. As wrestling fans, we feed off of moments. That's why we get this, for the hope of that moment. However, once the moment's gone, their ability to keep that moment going, whether it be Fandango's theme music continuously being sang or Brian's overness, they suck at it. So their ability is they have them. They have little, minimal ability. So it's not about, per se, the moment exactly, because we love that, and we're gonna go balls to the wall. We're going to have goosebumps. We're going to get crazy. But I mean, honestly, looking at it from a perspective of a fan, is that moment good enough to last the rest of the month following, and trust them to build it? Like we you and I have been some of the biggest fans of the storyline that's been going on right now. We fully support the evil Triple H character, and even with the flaws of this storyline, we love, I'm speaking for you, but I believe it's true, we love the fact that it's taking time, that it's not rushing. And that 3 months is, to me, I'm fine, okay? However, it is getting to that point. It's getting to that breaking point where you're like, come on, guys, we're defending you. You know, we're Triple H, we have your back, you know? And you're making it really fucking hard for us.
Yeah, I hit that point this week because Monday's Raw, like, there's a lot of things that we've been willing to overlook. with the program. We've been willing to overlook the fact that they keep talking about Daniel Bryan small. But when Triple H was like, I wouldn't waste my time against you, Daniel Bryan, like everything that we've been overlooking got thrown back in our faces in one promo, and it would have been okay had Daniel Bryan won. But I hit that breaking point today when he didn't. That's, to me, it's now, you know, it was going to take a lot for me to be happy with this. It really is.
Yeah.
And I've been holding on, holding strong, telling people, no, what you're complaining about isn't a big deal. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's fine. And it's just, you know, I'm at the point now where it's not fine and not going to be fine.
That's what bothers me the most is that, you know, I look at Big Show's, all the inconsistencies within the storyline that they've tried to build around him. I thought, okay, Cody Rhodes is being built up as a star, and because of this, I thought Stephanie and Triple H are so smug with their, you know, with everything they're doing. And every time Triple H said something that would put down any wrestler, whether it be, you know, like the promo on Monday, it wasn't the fact that he put everybody down. To me, it was hypocrisy at its best, and as a heel, he's supposed to do that. It was the fact that we okay this because we assume there's going to be some sort of come up, and time and time again, you and I have defended the storyline only to be like, no, we're not done yet.
Right. Yeah,
but
and it's just too many times.
Waning. Yeah.
Too many times. Like, Night of Champions was one thing, Battleground was another, but then you did it to us at Hell in a Cell, and SummerSlam, I loved the SummerSlam cash-in for Randy Orton. Loved it. Because I figured at that point, I assumed we were building to the win at Hell in a Cell. And when Night of Champions happened, I immediately said, we're not getting a winner at Battleground. We're getting the winner in Hell in a Cell. And now we're here at Hell in a Cell, and we didn't need Shawn Michaels. We didn't need the Big Show we didn't have. All we needed was a cage, two guys, Daniel Bryan, can finally prove himself in a situation where there could be no outside shenanigans and win. I think the story would have been the perfect amount of time. They could have had a good fall series, maybe him and Punk, him and whoever, and built it to him and Triple H at WrestleMania, and they go and do this, and now I don't even know what to think after this. And maybe they'll fix things on Monday and I'll feel better. Maybe they won't. It's not like I got TNA to turn to. I mean, that's just it's terrible. So wait till next week. We're destroying them. So it's just, you know, it's painful. There was a lot of, during the first hour of the show, myself and Patrick, and then later on Steve Cook, there was a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of that. It's great for radio, but a lot of that before people's opinions were shared, because that's just the feeling right now. It's like, you know, this is, you know, what we were afraid of happened.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's like having a kid that just doesn't get any better. You know, like, I think, Jameson alluded to it being a relationship, and, I mean, this isn't the equivalent of cheating on us. But it is pretty close to dishonesty and just like, you know, like it's like dating an addict where you're like, you know, you were clean for a while and now you're just back at it again. You're on that Cena. You need it.
is the tease.
Right. We've here's the thing. And any listener, like, anytime you roll your eyes at us, we really don't care. But what I want to establish is the fact that we're not going back on what we said. This isn't, well, we now agree with everyone else. This is purely disappointment. Like, this is unfortunate. We really wanted this to work. We really thought it was on point. It was some of the better storytelling in the last, I'd give it the last 5 years or so. And it's now back to what? And usually, if you don't know, you're excited. Now it's just apathetic. They
really
made a pay-per-view to sell Raw, as per usual.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's what we used to complain about with both WCW and TNA, and now the WWE is doing it. And if we turn around and we're okay with it after Raw tomorrow, we're the biggest hypocrites ever. And that may happen. That may happen.
It may.
You know, it might.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to make an excuse like, oh, it's just because this, that, or whatever. But, I mean, you know, we're all about that moment, you know, and if for whatever reason tomorrow comes and there is some particular moment, but I'm just not that interested. I mean, well, tomorrow's my sister's birthday, so I won't be watching Raw live, which means I won't be recapping it. But it doesn't really bother me, and I usually look forward to it.
Sorry, readers of 411 Mania, Tony won't be recapping Raw.
Yeah, I know.
thousands of people are looking elsewhere right now.
What's the name of the site that Greg just left again? Let's go find that one.
they have a recap or two, right?
They do. It's not as good.
I don't know if you've noticed this. I don't even know if you check out the 5-1 every week. But every week except for last week, I hope 411 editors aren't listening. Every week except for last week, your column has been linked.
Has it really?
It's just been hidden.
Nice. I've read the column. I have not seen the hidden links.
Yeah, it's you know, sometimes it just bypasses. But they're in there.
Yeah. Well, when editors don't actually edit things, then...
Right. But, you know I like to think it's because they trust me, but I think it's just because, you know, they're in a rush.
Well, considering that, like, you know, from day one, my first ever column wasn't edited or looked at, then, yeah, it's
right.
Not. It's just – I remember a time – I'm really hoping they're not listening now – where on the staff message board – we won't tell you where to find it, but there's one there was a posting that was like, make sure you put in the teaser because otherwise we have to read your column and write a teaser. And I took everything I had, Tony, to not post a response to that. It took everything I had to not post a sorry for making you do your job reply to that post.
I know.
But I didn't.
That's beautiful. For the 5-1, I know that they look at the girls so they can make an image. Anytime I review an album, I'll give Jeremy credit. He reads it. He reads the entire thing. For whatever reason, he's extremely interested in my opinion. Because he'll send me a message on Facebook like, oh, I totally agreed or I disagreed or whatever. Like, you know, out of nowhere. So. I mean, that's good. But, I mean, I guess the 5-1 just has too much content, which
well,
I
don't
I
think he cares about wrestling either.
Yeah, that's true. He probably stopped caring long ago, if ever. But, yeah, I don't know if you saw it, but last week, it was the birthday weekend, so I didn't do much the whole week. And then I come to Friday, and I had so much to do the day. I literally gave haiku previews to the pay-per-view. Like, it was just
–
I wrote a nice little opinion on Triple H, but other than that, it was completely filler.
I enjoyed the haiku. Haiku preview. That was good. But as you know, as I alluded to, going back, starting next weekend, not to the Wrestling 5-1, though, when I decided to go back, when I decided the grass wasn't greener on the other side, it was painful, and it was like crabgrass. And it was the kind of grass that you probably see in a lot of front yards in your portion of California. I just couldn't – yeah, I went back and I told Larry, I was like, where else can I go? Because I was done with the 5-1 in the sense that it is now yours. I can't go possibly show back up and be like, hey, I'm back. Nope, can't do it. I've got to do something different. And so I will. I will do something different. And I'm excited about it. And Larry's like, well, I just hired a bunch of people. And I just kind of chuckled. Yeah, you hired a bunch of people. We'll see how many of them ever post and then how many of them last a month and how many of them last a year. So we know we've been down this road before. So I was like,
That Powerhouse is back.
You're just happy that what?
I'm just happy that the Powerhouse is back. We may not have the same column anymore, but you better believe you guys are lucky as hell.
That's true. And then, of course... You know, since I think we might as well just go back to 1 year ago. Starting next week, we are back on the VOC Nation.
Worldwide.
Not only that, but Bruce and I are already talking about the third hour of the show, which we're in, and Bruce is like telling me a girl he could add to the third hour of our show. So,
I do like girls.
Yeah. Well, this one's you know, she's Mexican, I believe. So.
Okay.
That's all awesome.
All right. Well,
nothing's really official. I don't even know if she can stay up that late. But whatever. So, yeah. You know, we get to be on the West Coast. So, yep. Yeah, so that's where we are and could turn into to more good things. But the good thing about that is that third hour will be live, so we could talk to callers. We can do whatever we want. It does open up some freedom. And we had a JT in Pittsburgh call earlier. First time, long time, as they say in the radio business.
Really?
Wow. First time caller, long time listener called and brought it and had a lot of fun and did some complaining and did some ranting and asked some questions. It was good stuff. Good random stuff to bring in. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes when we play the sound bite, you know, when we do this.
Oh, hello.
bring somebody in. There's always that bit of apprehension that I have. I'm like, I don't recognize this phone number. But it was good.
Uh-huh. We do get worried.
We do. But no, he got the I'm Awesome sound bite. You know, he didn't get any of the bad ones.
You have a vagina!
Still my favorite.
Yes. Yes, I played that early in the show. It was very funny. I don't even remember why now, but it worked out well. It worked out very well. So, excellent. So, yeah, we got to see what happens tomorrow. Like I said, you won't see it live, but we'll see what they do on Raw. And Tony, I can tell you next Sunday when the World's Most Dangerous Column debuts over at Performermania, it's a hell of a week for me to debut because I got some talking to do about, you know, I'm sure the WWE can't write the ship in 1 week. So I got some talking there. TNA Impact is already taped, I already know what I'm talking about there. And watch out. Do not miss it because it's a no one gets out alive type scenario for the very first edition. That's for sure. And
I'm excited.
And, you know, women have to be involved, so I'm probably just going to bring back the whole featuring one to Marquette each week and leave it at that. Which we all know which DeMarquette drives the race.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
People love Scarlett Bordeaux.
That chick is hot.
Yes. Yes, November 1st, by the way, is when her calendar comes out. I need to talk to her. So maybe give one away or something. She already promised me one. Hopefully she doesn't conveniently forget about that. Because, you know, I have it recorded. You know, that's the great thing about having a radio show. Everything has to be recorded. So,
yes.
Yeah,
sometimes I go with my own voice.
I hope not.
No, I don't. I can hear me plenty well right now.
You don't want to have to listen to your own voice when we've got other voices that we can play that are just so much better, and there's no reason to play those. You know, there's just we have a litany of voices that we can play. Heather even has her own soundbite now. Like they're all just lining up. I mean, look, you know, Sue Young.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
Like just the excitement in her voice. Is
that
wonderful.
That was
almost
great. I remember that entire interview live. That was great. She's so young, awesome.
She is. That was probably still my favorite interview, solely because that was legit. Like there have been two DeMarquette offers that were not planned. Sue Young's was not planned at all, and then Cherry Bomb was not planned because Sue Young called in and demanded it happen, and so it. Because who am I to say no to Sue Young? I mean, I don't know if you guys know. But we can't say no to Sue Young. You know, we could also bring the mood down.
She's just so, so pretty.
You know, we can do that. So that one now I just use whenever Heather talks about a guy.
Right.
That's
that makes
what that
sense.
One's for. Yeah, we do.
She's just so, so pretty.
You know, I can see why
Heather
she likes him so much. He's just so, so pretty.
You know, I wanted to ask you, I think it was like 2 days ago, well, 2 and 3 days ago, 411, for whatever reason, made like about 5 posts in a row about allegedly this, allegedly that. It has been reported this.
Uh-huh.
And then it was posted immediately after that in the same column, but it could also be reported this. And that was the complete opposite of what was before.
Yeah,
I mean, I wanted to talk about it in the column, but I didn't have enough time. Like, and then I wanted to see if it was going to be posted because it wasn't necessarily me upset with 411. But at the same time, why are we reporting this?
It's all about the hits. It's all
the
about the hits.
The sky is blue, although it might be gray, but it's probably
yes.
going to be blue.
Reportedly blue. That's why Patrick
so
has his segment now. Patrick has his bullshit internet report of the week where he just brings one on, and there's three, and then he picks a winner, and it's just – it all comes from the wrestling – okay, 90% of it comes from the Wrestling Observer, and
right.
it's just all
right.
BS, and you know, I gave it away earlier, and I'll tell you right now, if we wanted to start a wrestling website – And even though I just did this a year ago, but if we wanted to start a wrestling, a news wrestling website, all we have to do is report the same stuff Dave Meltzer reports.
Uh-huh.
And claim it as our own. And the very first time he calls us out on it, which he will, he says, oh, you're just taking our member subscriber-only news. We say, no, I just have contacts. Maybe we just have the same contacts. But and he'll know that's horseshit because he's making it up, and he knows he's making it up. But he can't use that as the reason. He can't say, well, no, because I'm making it up, because then we'd all know he's making it up, even though we all already know he's making it up. And then, so you use that and you build up some credibility, right? And then once you have credibility and you have a reader base, then you start reporting the opposite of what he reports and just claim, well, no, he obviously has bad sources. He's just wrong. And then you start claiming he's making up, and you can just fuck with him, and it'll be great. And then you can't come out with what you did because you'll get sued for slander.
I love
trolls.
Speaking of trolls, the Onion, I don't know if someone finally – well, let me tell you this. You know, the one – both you and I thought it was a bad idea.
Write this week's Onion?
No, that wasn't me. Actually, here's what – when you told me what you told me on Facebook, I took a snapshot of it, and I sent it to Michael, and I said, hey, I just want you to know this is being printed. And you told me what your idea was about 3 days ago, but this is in print, and I just want you to know. So, and I told him, I said, whatever you write, I'm going to post it, you know. I have no censorship, you know, issues at all. I'm going to post it. I'm just telling you right now, like, he's always said there's no responses, I'm not getting any comments, blah, blah, blah. And I said, it's the very last section. It's very minute by comparison to anything that I write or even anything that he writes, you know. And to be honest with you, humor is very subjective. And it's funny. More often than not, the people who read the column will read it, they'll laugh, and that's it.
They'll move on.
No one's going to comment, that was funny. No one's going to say that. So he asked me this week, he said, can you do me a favor, just put a poll under the Onion and ask, you know, is it good, is it bad, are you indifferent? And I said, Mike, you realize that when I do this, it's going to break your poor little heart because nobody is going to like it. You know, I mean, I try to tell him this as a friend, like, if he wants to continue writing or even being in TV or whatever it may be, you can't write solely for the fans. You write for yourself, and if it pleases you, it pleases you. If you're not happy with it, then don't do it anymore. I'm not asking you for this. You're asking for a spot so you could plug your little podcast that has absolutely nothing to do with wrestling. So
did you do the poll? Because I don't see a poll. I'm there now.
I didn't do the poll because, first of all, I didn't have time. And secondly, I'm going to do it next week where instead of having him write something, I just want to post it. Because I told him there's ways to make this a bigger deal. I could put it higher in the column. It doesn't necessarily have to be the one, on any given week or whatever it may be. But I told him, like, you have to focus on two things. There's hits that I have to get. There's interest that I have to hold. And there's the mere reality that sometimes you're just not that funny. So it's all of those things come into perspective. Yeah, you may think that I don't care about this call, but there's a rhyme and reason for everything that I do in regards to.
Right.
I mean, why do you think pay-per-view predictions were the fourth one and not the fifth one? Because I didn't think they were strong enough. You know, it's a fucking haiku.
Right.
That's leading in saying, "Hey, I'm funny. Read this." You can't do that.
Right. Yeah. No, I definitely.
So we'll see.
I'm
definitely going to put the poll in. I'm definitely going to do that. But I wanted to prepare them because it's not going to be pretty.
There is a comment, though, that says, so far, the Onion hasn't done anything for me. Am I alone in that aspect?
And
I guess he is.
And I love that call. I love that comment because there's no animosity behind it. It's just a literal, I'm just letting you know.
The sad thing is that you're not crediting it to Michael, so people might think it's you. I might want to put his name on that.
I usually put his name, but once again, it was just the time thing.
Time,
but to me, even if it is funny, as a reader, I read funny shit all the time. I'm not going to put a comment that was funny. I'm going to put a comment on stuff that elicits a response or that is some sort of dialogue. I mean, you see the comments. They handled everything in regards to Triple H. They go way further back and into detail than I ever do. Or even you when you were doing it. I love when they do that.
They get all into it. They do. They get all into it. So, and Ornelas keeps winning. He keeps winning the comment contest.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, the one-liners, those are funny. But
yes.
And then it's the fact that, you know, you got to go in there. You're only going to get likes on the first day. You know, like, everybody's excited about the picture and their post, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I may have to cap the winners. But even
that's true.
Like I said, I was just in a rush. But yeah, it's just a matter of like, you know, in terms of humor, and we, you know, even in wrestling, it's subjective, and it's not always what your cup of tea. Not everybody likes Santino.
Right.
I think he's awesome.
So where is the hidden link? I'm trying to find it.
Not this week.
Oh, okay.
Because of the rush. Last week I forgot where I put it. I usually pick like a strong word, you know, like boob or.
Oh, can never go wrong with boob. We all love.
Right.
We all love boob. We busted out. You heard Jack. You heard Jack Jameson. I played You Have a Vagina, and he went with the old reliable. You are what you eat. Yes.
Yeah.
Man made me happy. I got to be honest with you. He really is like that in real life too. That's the funny thing.
I believe it. He sounds like a funny guy. He also sounds like a very I love the credit that he gave the show and you, and just that's greater than any other commentary.
And that was nothing compared to what he was saying there. I mean, it was really like he talked about how he recently did an interview on another show, and he listened to our show to prepare for another show's interview, and then all that show did was talk about themselves, and he hated it, and I wasn't going to have him talk about that on the air, and I won't name the show. Because I have talked to those people and even booked one of their people as a guest, and then that person canceled, and I just said, well, whatever, I don't care. But, yeah, and it's just him, you know, everyone that he talked about, you know, Sue, he's telling us how she rants and raves about the show wherever she goes, like that makes me feel good. You know, he was sitting next to Leva Bates when I replied to his DM about coming on the show, and Leva Bates was like, you got to do that show, it's like the best show. And I'm like, she's been on twice. But, you know, when people listen to it on the road, it just makes me happy. That's all.
Yeah.
So, they're listening to it because they need to kill time. But there's a million ways you can kill time. So,
yeah.
The fact that one of them pleases me to no end.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Excellent. Well, Tony, enjoy the partying tomorrow.
yeah.
I'm sure you can do with – I mean, we're not talking about somebody turning 21 here. So.
Yeah. No.
You know, we're not talking about...
Well, this one's actually... She's the more conservative, of, you know, than I am. So we're probably... She actually wants breakfast for dinner. So that's the...
Sounds like a party.
Let's
be honest, Tony. Most porn actresses are more conservative than you are. So...
That's true.
Yeah, but, you know...
Good Lord.
Mama Estero has been known to put together a party, though. And let's talk.
Hey, yo! Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
That has stood the test of time. It's been
indeed
a year.
That debuted.
That debuted in January of 2012, people. I just want to point that out.
Yeah,
isn't it crazy? That's when Brodus debuted. That's why these people end up with like 10-year-long careers, and we don't know how. Santino's been around for 7 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because he debuted in 2007, and you got to count that year. So, yeah,
and
he's been around for 7 years.
Won the IC title as a fan. Oh, my God.
Yep. Been around for 7 years. Came up runner-up in a Royal Rumble. I mean... You know, it's don't knock it. Don't knock it. That's all I can
say. Was a successful female wrestler for a while.
He was. Has a WrestleMania victory as a female wrestler. So, awesome. Tony, what's the progress on the books?
Still working on them. I mean, you know, the good thing is I just got published in this new book. It's a title, I mean, a poem about Bigfoot. I actually like it. You might like it too, Greg. It's about a father and a son, so it's pretty good. And you can find that on Amazon. Just search my name as usual. And the book itself is still being worked on. Still looking for probably a January release. I'm going to push forward as fast as I can. But now that midterms are over and whatnot, I can focus back on that and get some. And I'm in the mood, you know. Halloween's around and everything's getting all spooky over here.
Yes, plus everything's getting all spooky around there, plus it's Halloween. So
yes. Yes.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to that. We'll still be around. We'll still be kicking when the book. God, I hope so. Anyway, you never know. Somebody can pull the plug someday. There's always a way.
We'll be fine.
There's always a way. So awesome. Well, we'll talk to you again next week. And enjoy the partying. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Although that's probably what you should say to people. And yeah, that'll do it.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Nobody really knows this, but
Tony Vassero.
The softest lip. And sometimes at night we spoon.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Greg DeMarco Show. So next week, look forward to it because we're back on the VOC Nation. Sue Young has already said she will definitely be here. Heather Lynn will be back. I mean, it's going to be the gang's all here. It is going to be an amazing time. And you are going to love it. So don't miss out. It's going to be a blast. And you know what? For most people listening to the show, it's bedtime. And you really can't go to bed with your pants on. So we'll see you next week.
Time to get off.
If I'm not kicking ass in the ring, I'm kicking ass in the gym. Or I'm listening to the Greg DeMarco Show. Boom.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that's not, that came off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Because you know you're so
See, I'm gonna get off the phone, I'm gonna think of something so much better.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I wanna say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
We're beautiful, and we wrestle.
You're welcome!